and the great American Southwest. I bid you all good evening, good morning, good afternoon, as it may be wherever you are, all 24 time zones circling the globe. I'm Art Bell, and this is Coast to Coast AM. In a moment, I've got somebody I want you to meet. But right now, looking at the news about the world, there is quite a bit of it. Richard Reed, the British citizen accused of trying to ignite explosives in his shoes while on board a U.S. jetliner, indicted today of being an Al-Qaeda terrorist, trained terrorist anyway. He could get up to 5 life sentences for what he has done. So, they keep showing a picture of him on CNN, and I have noted that pin-headed cats aren't too bright. I don't know if you're a cat person, but the real pin-headed cats, they're not too really bright. And when I see him on CNN, he looks like a pin-headed cat. Now, the UN Security Council adopted sanctions today against Osama bin Laden. His terror network and the remnants of the Taliban, requiring all nations to impose arms embargoes and freeze their monies. Of course, if we find him, the sanction will be boom. The senior auditor, here it is again, another Enron story. Enron is developing just like Watergate. It doesn't have quite the same political connotations yet. And it may not, but every day a new Enron story. A senior auditor fired for destroying documents in the Enron affair knew in August that a company whistleblower was warning about the whole thing. That was congressional investigators who revealed that. So every day we get a new Enron story. And then, of course, the shooting, the schools. Grundy, Virginia, this time, a student who had been dismissed from law school, went on a campus shooting spree, killed the dean, a professor, and a student before he was tackled by students. There are also others wounded in varying conditions. Headshakers, I don't know. These days, schools. May have more to tell you about school soon. 30 more Al-Qaeda and Taliban prisoners arrived in Cuba today, where officials are warning that several are just saying, you know, every opportunity they get, they're going to riot and kill Americans, do whatever they can do. Wonder what's going to happen to them from Cuba. Bill Gates announcing his company is going to, instead of working on new goodies, you know, to put into the Windows system, they're going to start work on security issues. That's a good idea, Bill. The U.S. stock market taking a bath, down 211.88, the Dow down 211 points, almost 212 points. Not a good day in the markets. Now, this is a really interesting story, and it comes from the BBC. So many times, I'm sorry to say, we must go overseas to various publications overseas to get these stories, instead of here. But it's from the BBC, and it says, marine scientists in India say that an archaeological site off India's western coast may be up to 9,000 years old. The revelation comes about 8 months after acoustic images, doesn't this sound familiar, from the seabed suggested the presence of built-up structures resembling the ancient Harappan civilization, which dates back around 4,000 years. The Harappan civilization is the oldest on that subcontinent, though Paleolithic sites dating back to about 20,000 years have been found off the coast of India's western state before. This is the first time there are indications of man-made structures as old as 9,500 years. So, again and again and again, that's from the BBC, again and again and again, we're learning that there probably were those who came before us in every way we understand it, and maybe even before them. And so I think our traditional ideas of how long we've been here, how we got here, all the rest of it are highly suspect, and it may be that civilization has come and gone previously. And oh, by the way, on that subject, coming up next hour is Mark Hazelwood. He'll be talking about planet X. And perhaps those who have come and gone before us. From a newspaper in New Delhi, a dead man shocked relatives and doctors in the northern city of Lucknow. That's a good name for it, Lucknow, huh? Lucknow, when he suddenly came alive just minutes before he was to be taken for cremation. In other words, they were going to roll the body into the fiery chamber. Only 55 years old, the man was admitted to a government hospital suffering from TB, tuberculosis, on December 29th last year, but declared dead. Right at the end of the year, declared dead, shifted to a mortuary 14 days later. Shifted to a mortuary 14 days later. Well, the family began making arrangements for the funeral. However, when 14 days, my God. Anyway, when they brought the body out from the mortuary and began to load it actually onto the vehicle to be taken to the fires, quoting the son, my father gasped for breath. So, everybody was surprised. The man is now in the hospital in serious condition. And it's a horrible thing to contemplate, but you've got to imagine. You've got to imagine that we might not fully understand sufficiently the process of death itself. And we just don't. And I wonder how many people who, you know, actually die. It's a morbid thought, but you've got to think about it when you read these stories. I wonder how many people who actually die hear or somehow know everything that's going on. The plans for the funeral or the cremation or whatever it is that's going to happen. The grieving relatives. Sort of noticing as people pass by your casket, bid you farewell, that kind of thing. Hopefully consciousness. Well, we don't understand fully the nature of consciousness in the first place, so I guess we can only hope that that wouldn't be true. In a moment, I've got somebody I want you to meet. Now, the person I wanted you to meet. I got a pretty interesting email earlier today, and it reads as follows. Art, I'll get right to the point. I can physically levitate. No tricks. The real thing. I was recently buried alive to beat magician David Blaine's record of 7 days. I went 9 days. And I'll tell you after that, some really amazing things began to happen. I went 12 days without food. I did this so several things I experienced in the tomb I wrote off as hallucinations due to lack of nutrition. Well, 2 months later, they're getting more intense. What have I opened up here? Would like to talk to someone. Levitation, light beings, it's all at my disposal. Why? All I know is that I can do some things that might be considered beyond this reality. And it's signed Vincent Lords. Vincent, welcome to the program.
How are you, Art?
I'm okay.
Okay.
That's some story you're weaving. Now, you decided you wanted to beat David Blaine's record, and how did you go about endeavoring to do that?
Through a year and a half of process of meditation, self-hypnosis, yoga breathing, because a lot of magicians in the industry claimed that he wasn't there, it was a hologram.
Stay good and close to the phone for me.
What's that?
That's better.
There we go.
Good and close. Okay, so that was the mental preparation and physical, but I mean, how did you go about documenting the fact that you were going to do this? Who was watching you? Who was anything over you?
A gentleman by the name of Dr. Silkini was my mentor through this, to assist me in this, making the coffins, the preparations, the...
Again, you're going to have to get close to the phone and stay there. If your lips are touching the phone, then you're in the right place, okay?
Right.
Okay, so a doctor helped you,
right.
And you said coffin?
Yeah, I had to build a special coffin that would hold the weight of the earth and risk not having it collapse in on me.
Oh, so you really got buried?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this.
Oh, my God. How far down?
This was actually in a crypt that was sealed with dirt on top of it because they wouldn't let us dig inside of Edison Field. So they put me in a box, inside of a box, and then covered that box full of dirt.
Wonderful. And you were in there for a total of how long?
9 days.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
9 days of absolute sensory deprivation. Could you see or hear anything at all?
They had what we call the visiport, which was where the oxygen was being pumped in, where the public was invited to look down into the coffin to verify it was there.
Huh.
The hardest thing was is it was light in there 24 hours a day because we had a light, because we had cameras inside of the coffin, so the public could see me on my crypt cam, things
so,
like that.
So, your crypt cam.
Right.
Your crypt cam. Oh, my God, I've got a million questions. 9 days.
Right.
I did some marathons myself, and one of the first questions that pops into my head is, how did you handle the bodily functions part?
Well, I had a trucker's tube for number one, and then I cleaned my system out 3 days before I went in, so I didn't have to worry about number two.
Gotcha, okay.
So, I mean, there's quite a bit of preparation. When I say I fasted for 12 days because I had to fast 3 days before I went in.
Gotcha.
So a total of 9 and then 3. So.
Why did you want to do this?
Because people said it couldn't be done. Doctors, psychiatrists said that you would go crazy, that it was impossible,
mm-hmm.
and it had to be trickery.
Well, this doctor who helped you, what was his advice to you?
He said it could be done. It was going to take a lot of mental preparation, and we went through. We had codes that... if I wouldn't react with a certain way at a certain time, he'd pull me out. He had to legally. We had a contract that if I was showing, you know, signs of physical or mental stress,
right.
then that was part of the deal, get me out of there.
Oh,
so I had code words every day that I had to repeat to him and or they would pull me out.
9 days. All right. In 9 days, what began to occur to you?
Just a lot of it was what I would consider to be dreams. Since I knew I was going to be in a box for 9 days, I realized physically, yes, I have to be in this box. Mentally, you know, I can go in my little special place or whatnot. However, that little special place sort of now seems like it might have been what some people call astral projections. I would actually see myself levitating out of this box and into the parking lot, and I just assumed it might have been a dream. However, when they pulled me out, it was exactly the same. I mean, the setup, the people, the press, it was totally unreal. It was like I had been out of the box for the 9 days.
What press covered this when you did this? What press covered it?
All of the California press, basically. It was through Clear Channel Radio. They were the sponsors in it.
I know about Clear Channel.
And so they were the media as far as radio, and then CNN, various news stations covered it periodically.
Okay, somehow I missed it on CNN. I'll be darned. Oh, well, anyway, so you obviously, you had what a reasonable person would consider hallucinations during the time. I certainly had them when I tried 116 hours of broadcasting. And I did it, and I know I had hallucinations, or something,
right?
Some other reality took over, and
absolutely.
That's what we call, I think, hallucinations, right?
Right. Well,
only
that would be my experience of it.
Only now that you're out,
right?
Publicity's over,
right?
What's begun to happen to you?
All kinds of things. I see what I would consider a light person. I've been able to touch people and predict things that might happen to them. Lights turn out around me. it's hard for me to be even around, like, my computer. Just really weird things that at the time that they were happening inside the coffin, some of the hallucinations, the light, stuff like that, I thought, okay, I'm obviously hallucinating. They warned me about this. Got my physical. They say everything's fine. However, just really strange things like that have been happening to me constantly, and they seem to be getting worse.
You claim that you can levitate off the ground, actually lift off the ground, physically lift off the ground?
Right. 100%. My physical body will levitate off the ground when I'm in my meditation. I've got this documented.
How?
People around me have seen this happen.
How do you have it documented?
On camera. I mean, I don't you have it legally documented or anything like that.
But you have photographs of
Absolutely.
This?
Absolutely.
You do?
Yes.
Oh, Vincent. Do you, you said you do have a computer, though you have a hard time spending time near it?
Right. I mean, it crashes all the time.
Do you think
it's
that you
weird.
Could, do you think there's some way you could keep it going long enough to get me a photograph?
There's actually a photograph on my website.
On your website? Well, I didn't even know you had a website.
Right.
So you see, Vincent and I are really talking, with the exception of about 10 seconds, for the first time right now, right, Vincent?
Right, absolutely.
So you have a website.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Why don't you, is it a long address?
It's VincentLords.com.
VincentLords.com.
Right.
Okay. As long as it doesn't crash before all my listeners get there.
And see, let me state this, too. Because I did the buried, and David Blaine did the buried, and because David Blaine levitates, people also think that I'm levitating via camera tricks or some kind of magic trick, and I wish it were true. I mean, I'm not really enjoying any of these things that are happening to me. I don't know why they're happening.
Where do I go? To the photo vault?
No, go to, it's in the news. It's in news.
News, okay, that's the second item. On my way to news, and already your website slows. Here we go. Modern day Santa Claus.
Oh, you have to scroll down. These are just different things there.
Oh, my God. I see you in front of a meditation chapel.
Right.
It says, click here for full image. I'm doing that. And you are... Vincent, you appear to be... Oh, my God, you are levitating. Holy moly. Oh, Vincent. How did this begin to happen, pray tell?
The levitation?
Yes, levitation.
I would meditate because I really had a hard time after this buried just with my concentration and so forth. So I'd go to the meditation chapel or here at my home. And I would meditate. Well, during my meditation sessions, it would feel like I was actually lifting. And then I would open my eyes, kind of catch me off guard. And I mean, I could actually feel myself physically falling. So I said, there's just something, this is weird. I mean, this is definitely beyond just meditation here. I've tapped into something. I don't know what it is. I can't explain it.
Whatever it is, it's still with you. You opened a door, right?
Vincent,
did you ever see Flatliners?
I've been told to watch that, as a matter of fact.
Uh-huh. A lot of the doors they opened brought things with them that stayed after their experience. All right, hold on, Vincent. We're at the bottom of the hour. Just hang in there. My God, he is levitating. From the high desert, I'm Art Bell. This is Coast to Coast AM. My guest is Vincent Lords, last-minute guest. Got an email from him. By the way, the title of the email was, Help, I'm Scared. And Vincent was buried alive for 9 days to try and beat a record, which he did beat. Press covered it and so forth. But after the, I don't know what you'd call it, experiment, the stunt, the magic, after all of that ended, some pretty strange things began to occur, and I guess we've got a link up right now. In fact, let me check and make sure the link is up. I contacted Keith just a moment ago, as soon as we got the website. If you go to program and tonight's guest, yes, there's Vincent Lords, and there's the link to Vincent's website. So if you go to program and tonight's guest info and the name Vincent Lords, right there, you'll see the link to his website. And then you want to go to news, where it says news, and you will, you'll see a picture of Vincent off the ground. levitating. You can blow, you click on it and blow it up. There's no question he appears to be actually levitating up off the ground. He says no tricks involved, the real thing. In a moment, we will continue with Vincent. Stay right there. I don't know if you got the break, but if you did, we run a commercial for the IRS, and I think it's you got to admit, it's great PR on their part. It starts out, I love you, IRS loves us. It's great. All right, yeah, getting to that time of year again anyway, isn't it? Once again, here is Vincent Lords. Vincent,
yes.
Remembers... Kiss that phone when you're talking to me now.
Right.
What's it like when you, the first time that you realize you're physically lifting off the ground, levitating?
The picture that you see on the website is probably about the third time I had experienced. The first time, I didn't know if I was losing my mind or if I was in the middle of an earthquake or beyond words, I was scared to death. I didn't know if, you know, this was actually happening. Until I did it a few other times.
Can you describe the feeling that you get when you levitate? I mean, it's...
Tingling, very much a sense of tingling. No physical, or no mental thought, rather. The mind is just 100% clear. You're not there or here. You're in the moment. It's not like, oh my God, I'm meditating. It's complete silent. It's like after you've passed out and you come back to conscious awareness, that vibration that you feel in your fingers.
So then there's more of that than there is of weightlessness.
Right. It's sort of like a dream, but it's kind of like you couldn't really describe it as weightlessness because my mind is just 100% clear. It's not, wow, this is weird. I'm levitating because the first time I did that, I told you I felt myself physically fall. I mean, I'm not floating 20 feet in the air, you know, 12 inches or whatnot. So it's hard to describe the feeling because my mind is 100% blank, and that's why I questioned my sanity. I was scared. I didn't know if this was a dream, what was going on, until I did document it. I have had witnesses.
Right. All right. 9 days buried alive, 12 days without food. Now,
right.
This is going to do things to you, as we discussed earlier. It's going to do things to you. There's
right.
No question about it.
Right.
And I'm sure that your doctor warned you of that, didn't
Absolutely.
He?
Absolutely.
Uh-huh. Who have you reported all of this stuff to? I mean, you're now seeing light beings. You're doing all kinds of things you ought not be doing. You're in a different world since this has happened. So who have you talked to since?
You.
that's me?
All because I'll be honest, I'm scared to tell my physician. I'm scared to tell people for fear that they're going to lock me up. But now I'm at the point I feel like if I don't tell somebody, I'm going to lock myself up. I'm scared. I don't. This isn't for publicity. I'm not... People say, you know, write a book. I mean, the guy with the camera said, you know, you got to write a book about this, buried alive. This is deep. And it's beyond that. I'm not doing this for publicity. I'm not doing this for attention.
How did you get this photograph? I mean, in what way? Were you intending to do this for the camera or?
No. I invited them to the meditation chapel to record some pictures for our website of me meditating in the sacred place.
Gotcha.
So this is on camera. This is on digital camera. They're the ones that said, holy shit, how did you do this? Is this a trick? What's going on here? And I decided, well, let's put this on the website and kind of get a feel for how people are reacting. And everybody thinks it's a trick. And I'm willing to invite anybody to challenge me, come meet with me, and I'll do it right in front of them. They can crawl, they can do whatever they want.
Where are you?
I'm in Salt Lake City right now.
Salt Lake City.
Right.
Let's see, I suppose on your website there is an email address or something, right? Some way that people can get hold of you?
Right.
Because with that kind of a challenge,
mm-hmm.
Well, for example, there's this guy named Randy, you know, who keeps claiming...
The Amazing Randy.
Yeah, the Amazing Randy.
Yes.
Who claims he's got $1 million, ready to go for somebody just like yourself.
Right.
You've given that one any thought?
I absolutely. I'm willing to do that. take the $1 million and donate it to a charity. Like I said, I'm not doing this for money. You know, however, if some good can come out of this, then absolutely. I invite anybody that doubts it.
You would donate it all to a charity?
Absolutely.
What? You must be independently wealthy.
No, just because I don't want people to get the wrong idea. I'm not trying to sell videos or books or sell a television.
Yeah, but look, the way things are in America today, I'll just say this, Vincent.
Right.
If you really can levitate,
right,
you deserve $1 million, maybe more.
Yeah, you know what I'm also scared of?
What?
Is, okay, let's say I can do this, boom, people are going to get it, you know what I mean? I'm not going to be safe anymore.
You've got a point there. You've got a point there.
This is information, the government, the army, who knows who wants it?
Mm-hmm.
Boom, I don't want to just disappear off the face of the earth.
That has happened to a few of my guests, like yourself, actually.
Oh, great.
Madman Markham, and there would be many others who have either expired or simply disappeared altogether. So, you know, I don't discount your concerns. I probably just helped them a lot, actually.
Can I tell you something really scary, too?
Yes, you may.
I was doing an interview day six into this with Rick Dees, and I was kind of telling him that I've seen some pretty strange things, and he was laughing, saying, oh, it's hallucination, you haven't eaten, blah, blah, blah. Apparently, a couple days later, Men in Black, supposedly some of the people say, you know, there's these people.
No, wait a minute. I just missed what you said.
Oh, I'm sorry. Men in Black?
People
in black suits. The agent calls, says there must be some pretty hot agents out here. We got two guys out here. They're dressed in black. I mean, they look like superstars. I've seen these people. This was...
Wait a minute. The Men in Black went where?
To the crypt I was at after I had been on Rick D's morning program.
Really?
Kind of talking about... I didn't talk about the levitation because this hadn't happened yet. I just talked about, you know, some of the weird things, the astral projection, some of the strange things.
Okay, I understand. How long ago was this when you appeared with these in the morning?
It was October, like, 17th.
October 17th. When did the levitation begin?
This was in November. The levitation.
So this is very recent.
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. Absolutely.
I'm sure that Mr. Dees wouldn't have had as much fun with you had he had the photograph.
Well, no, that's the thing. He thought I was, I guess, joking or trying to make funny conversation. I was just saying, you know, I'm scared. Some of this stuff's happening. I'm having nightmares. I'm waking up. Am I dead? I wake up, and I'm in a coffin. So my mind starts playing tricks on me, and he's like, this is great for him. He's just laughing his butt off.
Uh-huh.
Later that day, these gentlemen, Men in Black, that's what I'm going to call them, show up. They're very secretive. They're checking the whole thing out. So we're thinking that they're either magicians or they're superstar agents looking at this publicity stunt. However, now in Salt Lake City, 3 months later, I see them at my shows. I see them. You know what I mean? And I don't know if I'm just...
Well, what do? Are you a magician?
I'm a hypnotist.
A hypnotist?
Yeah.
So you do stage
hypnotism? Yeah.
Okay.
Hypnotherapy.
All right. Well, there are plenty of people who will say this was, and I mean, in a way, it was a stunt, right?
The buried alive, absolutely.
Yeah.
It wasn't a magic trick. It was a publicity stunt to prove the power of the mind and to beat David Blaine's record. He said it couldn't be done. Doctors said, no, you'll die. This will happen. You'll go crazy. Maybe I did go crazy. To be honest, I don't know if I'm alive. Maybe these things are happening because I died during the stunt. And now all these weird things are happening because maybe I'm where I thought I was before, however, in a different level, so to speak.
Well, if you're dead, your voice is traversing the veil without interruption for the most part.
Well, this,
I don't think you're
good.
Dead. It seems like you're alive, as we understand alive, but it does seem as though something really profound
Something's happened here. Family, friends. See, you know, Vince, you're not the same. You're like a robot. There's something missing. And now all these weird supernatural things start happening. I have to question either my sanity or the fact that I moved on. I don't know.
Well, sensory deprivation, that's serious. I suppose, could cause your mind to snap. And you said you've wondered yourself.
Absolutely.
About your own mind.
Right. I mean, these things never happened to me before, and now all of a sudden, some really strange things start happening. Before I jump to conclusions and say, wow, I have the power, I mean,
I'm starting to
think, am I crazy?
Yeah, how has this affected your work?
A ton. It's helped me in some aspects because people that are on stage come up and they ask me, you know, when you hypnotize me and you push my head back, what was that bright light that flashed? And things like that, and I'm like, huh? Or they'll say, how did you get that light around there? I'm just questioning certain things that I'm not doing on purpose. I can't see. However, people are coming up and saying, whoa. You know, so it's scared me. It's hurt me in a lot of ways because, you know, I deal with the mind, and here I am saying I can levitate. You know, I'm trying to help people, assist them, whatever you may call it, overcome mental challenges. Yet here I am saying that
right.
I see things and stuff.
Do you have a sense of where this is going?
No, I don't. I don't know where it's going to end up or what. I'm just scared. I'll be honest. This call is more just, God, give me some answers. Somebody, anybody. This is weird.
Yeah.
It's very strange.
Well, I just wonder if it's something that will fade or will deepen. I suppose either one is possible, huh?
Getting deeper. My dreams are more intense. I feel like I can look through people, look into their souls. When I'm meeting with a client, I can almost see into their future in a way to warn them about certain things. And this is, I won't go into 100% detail. However, I have warned some people just out of nowhere, wear your seatbelt. A week later, they come to my show and say, oh, my gosh, you know, we were in this horrible accident. Things like that. So, I mean, some call this a gift. Oh, beautiful. I say this is a curse.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see how you would feel it would be a curse.
To further prove this, I want to make a prediction. Right now on your program.
Have at it.
I'll put my name, my reputation, everything on the line.
Okay.
Because I say I keep getting this dream, this sense, the first week of February, somewhere in the United States, I haven't pinpointed, there will be a horrific earthquake.
February 1st?
The first week of February.
The first week of February.
Right, and I keep trying to meditate to see where this might happen. However, I will put my reputation, anything on the line.
When you say
a
horrific earthquake, there was a horrific earthquake in Alaska. I saw the results of that one personally. I happened to be flying through Alaska. It was unbelievable what happened.
Just recently, or
No. This was a long time ago.
Okay.
My question is, in scale, how big is this earthquake? What do you know about it?
I see it bigger than the one in California. Absolutely. Like I said, I just see mass destruction. I see a lot of unfortunate death. I see mass destruction. So I'm going to have to say this is definitely over a 7.
Over a 7.
Absolutely.
With mass destruction. Well, that's not going to be hard to pinpoint. The first week of February. How do you, as a matter of interest, how are you pinning it down to the first week in February? What tells you that?
I see February. I see the calendar February. And I see numbers flashing, and the numbers usually go up to 7. It's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. It's kind of like a dream. I close my eyes, I see this, and I also see the number 1138. I don't know if that's a time. I don't know if that's a longitude. I don't know what that number is.
But 1138.
Right. However, it has something to do with that earthquake. I would hope that it's not an 1138, you know, on the Richter scale. I see that number, so I'm curious to find out how that number is going to play.
Could easily be a time, a.m. or p.m., I suppose.
Yeah, and I've looked at that as well. However, it's like when I see the calendar, I see the numbers, I see the month February flashing. I don't see that as a time. It's not like a clock. It's like these numbers are just like, boom, everywhere I look. As a matter of fact, sometimes I'll look at the clock, and it'll be 1138. Or, you know, I'll look at something and I'll have the number 1138 flight, 1138. And it's just, for some reason, that number, the last, like, 3 weeks has just been pounded into my head.
So if you were to head to the airport and you saw that your flight was 1138 to Chicago, you...
Yeah, I ain't going. I have that much... Just from the experiences that have happened, there's no way. Something, somewhere, someone, something's trying to say 1138 means something. It might be good. Maybe it's a lottery number. I don't know. However, I'm not going to tempt it. I've already been to my funeral once. You know.
Been to your funeral once. Yeah, I like your specific prediction, and it's not very far away either, so we're going to find out very, very...
Absolutely.
Very quickly. I don't know what to tell you about all this. Are you going to seek... professional assistance of some kind?
I'm seeing my facilitator in hypnosis. However, I haven't told him, like, all the levitation. I mean, you're honestly the first person that I've really gone public with this.
Well, now, actually, more no, so...
Well, just tell him not to... Don't come and lock me up yet. You wait till that earthquake, and then maybe people will start really taking me seriously.
Maybe they'll take you very seriously.
Right.
Light beings... what is it you see?
My eyes are really sensitive to light.
Yes.
That was down there, and I thought that would go away. However, whenever I'm looking at light or there's a lamp or something, the light from the lamp sort of blurs, adjusts my eyes, and it then sort of takes the shape of a person. No features like face and description like that. I mean, it's like a blotch of light, and these blotches of light will actually come into me.
Into you?
Right. So it's like the light's getting brighter, brighter. It's actually now taking a physical form. It approaches me. Boom. It either goes through me or into me.
And what if it goes into you, what does that feel like?
Warm, but more... This is more just like scared. And it's interesting because the people that I have hypnotized ask, when I push their forehead back and say, sleep, what is that flash of light? What do I have, something in my ring, or, you know, is this to spook them into hypnosis or whatnot? So it's interesting. I definitely think there's a connection there. And people even on stage have asked about the glow around me and so forth, sort of like an aura that the average person can see.
All right, so you fully admit the burial for 9 days, the going without food for 12, all of that was an attempt to break a record and a stunt that you now feel has gone incredibly wrong?
Right. Something's happened here. And I've even attempted to contact David Blaine to say, has this happened to you? Is this something, because a lot of people call him his guru or whatnot. And so I'm trying to find out, okay, did this happen to you? Because he said some weird things have happened, but he's also a magician, you know, so he's probably trying to further his career in that field.
As people would suggest, you are in yours.
Right. However, if I was out for publicity on this, I'd be doing books, TV shows, things like that. I'm not. I'm totally scared. I want this to leave. I don't like this.
Well, if there's a giant earthquake in the first week of February, I suspect you will be on TV shows. All right, listen, I've got to run. The hour's over.
Very cool.
We're going to be watching the first week of February very closely, my friend, all right?
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Take care of yourself. All right. Mark Hazelwood's coming up. Certainly is. That was an interesting first hour. And here comes an interesting second hour. Mark Hazelwood is the son of the movie and music producer, singer, songwriter, actor, author, and director Lee Hazelwood. His father's most notable material was a number one hit song he wrote and produced and then was performed by Nancy Sinatra entitled These Boots Are Made for Walking. Lee also produced a beautiful tune with Frank Sinatra that was titled Something Stupid. Remember that? Mark Hazelwood has written a book entitled Blindsided Planet X Passes in 2003. Earth Changes. Exclamation point after Earth Changes. Planet X may be the grand equalizer. The wrecking ball. Or the kicking boots of our solar system. Quote, one of these days, the boots are going to walk all over you. End quote. May take on a whole new meaning when you think of what Planet X does when it passes by Earth each time on its regular 3,600-year orbit. Doesn't that sound familiar? After the passing of PX, Planet X, obviously, there would be some other songs of Lee's that might apply to this world. Summer Wine, or, of course, Some Velvet Morning. They portend of a new future, a new culture. That all of this may rise up out of the ruins of this one, as the Phoenix did. And as perhaps others have come and gone, we're getting more and more news stories. We'll talk about all of that in a moment with Mark Hazelwood. Well, 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 Mark Hazelwood, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, Art. I'd like to say first that it is a dream come true be on this program, and just to tell you how I feel. I'm very excited about it. I thank you for having me on.
You're very welcome. You're here because you've got, I think, some potentially really, really, really important information. We're hearing these interesting stories now, Mark, all the time. Like there's this lost city about 2,200 feet under the water off the coast of Cuba. And now I'm hearing about lost cities, man-made structures under the water off India and other places. All of a sudden, we're getting a rush of these stories, and all of them would seem to say that there were civilizations prior to ours to which something absolutely, totally catastrophic occurred, and now we're getting stories from all over the world about this, and it's going to change how we think about who we are, where we came from, when we got here, and whether there were others before us, and other catastrophic events that simply totally ended civilizations that have been here before. And I think that's what we're talking about here, isn't it?
That's exactly what we're talking about.
Uh-huh. I thought so. What is Planet X?
Well, Planet X is Roman numeral number 10.
Right.
It would mean the 10th planet in our solar system.
Right.
It orbits around not just our sun, but our sun's dark twin that lies towards Orion. In my book, I have a diagram from the 1987 edition of a scientific encyclopedia that shows where that dark sun is, that dark star, and Planet X, or the 10th planet, right between it. So instead of orbiting around one sun or the other, this rogue planet, failed star, brown dwarf, if you will, simply goes back and forth in a pendulum-like orbit, so that...
Why don't we see it?
Well, we do see it. I mean, I've gotten whispers from several different people from observatories that they've been watching it. Now, the Russians have known about it for at least 3 years.
Yeah, I've heard all kinds of things about this, but I've never seen any, you know, like Hubble photographs or something of that magnitude as of yet, but a lot of people do think there is another planet out there, and you say it orbits it is in conjunction with a rogue star as well, or a dark star?
Well, this dark star would be the twin of our sun. The majority of solar systems are binary. We just found that out in the last 10 years with the level of sophistication of our equipment. And ours is not unlike the majority. The only difference is our twin is dark, but it lies out there towards Orion, and there is a rogue planet that's caught between the orbits of these two suns.
All right, how far in astronomical units is this? Do you know? In other words, one astronomical unit would be the measure between the Earth and the sun, right?
Yes, let's say 20 or thereabouts.
About 20 times farther away than our sun. Our the sun we're all used to looking at. Yeah, okay. That's quite a ways out, all right. And seeing a planet would be a kind of a difficult task at that distance.
Well, no, I wasn't talking about the planet. I was talking about the other star.
The other star. Well, either one. Seeing either one would be quite a chore, particularly if it's a dark star, I would think.
Yes. Well, back in 1983, the United States actually came clean for a few minutes on December 30th, 1983. They had sent out the infrared astronomical satellite and announced they had found what they were looking for out towards Orion, and this would be Planet X. Since then, they've done their best to say that, it wasn't what we thought it was, and it doesn't exist.
Who on December 30th in 1983, do you recall, announced this?
It was the chief scientist of the IRS satellite who announced it. I think it's Gary New. I can't even pronounce the last name.
And he actually came right out and announced, we have found what? He said a dark star with a planet, or a dark star or a mass that we're going to call a tenth planet?
Well, there was a lot of speculation at the time as to what exactly he said, but some people thought it was a planet inbound, a cold, you know, brown dwarf star. Other people thought it might be something else. And at the end, he actually said that, well, we don't really know what it is, but he wanted to make sure people knew that there was no speculation as to whether it was inbound or not. Which is highly telling, as far as I'm concerned. Why would he announce that?
I don't know. Does it remain virtually where it is until a certain tug of war takes place and then it begins moving, or is it moving now, or what do we know?
Well, from what I understand, you might call it a dual sun slingshot orbit. In other words, you know, a pendulum, you know, goes fast, it pauses at the end, stops, comes back the other direction. So at a certain point, it starts to speed up. And that would be, I suppose, right in the middle. And it's already past that, so it's already started to speed up. The slingshot part of it has already released, so it should be getting here rather quickly within, let's say, 16 months.
16 months.
Yeah.
When do you think it will be at a distance that the average astronomer simply totally cannot ignore?
Well, that would probably be this summertime, but there is a sieve of leaks now coming out from observatories. In fact, there is a picture of it on the internet at this point.
Really? Really? Yeah. Where?
Well, if you were to go to yahoo.com and register there, you know, just get yourself a little email address and click on e-groups and go to Preparation 2003 e-group and check post number 8695.
Yeah, that's a lot to do. The masses are not going to be able to get there. Do you have this photograph?
No, I don't have the
photograph. You don't have it?
No, in fact, it's only been there a short while. And, of course, the powers that be, the paid-for debunkers that are supposed to, you know, keep the masses' ears and calm, are debunking this and saying it isn't really what it is.
Mm-hmm. You realize, of course, how Sitchin-like what you're saying sounds.
Well, you can't write a book about Planet X without referencing Zachariah.
Right.
He did a fabulous job of uncovering this ancient knowledge from ancient Sumeria. And the detail of this civilization is just unbelievable. I mean, they knew all about our planets. This is thousands of years ago, all nine of them. Plus, they identified this tenth one they called Nibiru. And the reason they named it that, because that translates into planet of passing. It doesn't just, orbit around, like I said, one sun or the other. It comes on by. And, excuse me, in addition to that, they identified how long the orbit's up, 3,600 years.
3,600 years, right. That's
3,600. Probably it's closer to 3,650 years, but, that's, an average.
Now, you maintain this planet is headed our way right now. When you say our way, how close does this planet come to Earth?
Well, each time it would be a little different. But from what I understand, let's say it's going to come between the Sun and Earth this time.
Between the Sun and Earth?
Correct. It's headed towards being pulled faster and faster by its own gravity and the Sun's gravity towards it. At the last minute it veers away because, I don't know if you're aware that just within the last year or so, the new theory of gravity is it's a particle flow in both directions, and that's what will keep it from hitting the Sun. It'll just sail on by, and it slows it down at the last moment before it passes by. As far as how far away, let's just say anywhere from, 10 to 20 million miles away.
Okay. That's a pretty big mass coming that close. It obviously is going to have effects here on Earth, right?
Well, the distance that it's going to travel by this time would perhaps fall in the worst case scenario. In other words, if it was closer, it would be better, believe it or not.
Why?
Well, it's the magnetism that will result in the greatest Earth changes. And our liquid iron molten core of Earth will align to it as it passes, pause the rotation of the Earth. And if it was passing closer, the crust, which is also magnetic, but not near as magnetic, layered in different directions,
yes,
as the liquid iron or core. And if it was passing closer, both would align in unison. But if it passes close enough for the iron ore core to align, but not close enough for the crust to align with it, that's the worst case scenario. That's when the crust will resist aligning with the core, and a crustal displacement or a pole shift will result. And that's possibly what we're looking at now. That's what's expected. That's the speculation from, a whisper from an insider in NASA, that's what NASA is speculating will happen. They know.
You've heard this from NASA?
No. I have heard from someone else, it's simply hearsay, that has spoken to someone who was in NASA, that they said they know about it absolutely. Two things they know for sure. It's inbound, it's going to pass late May, early June. That's absolutely what they know. What they're speculating is that it will cause a pole shift this time. And if that happens, their speculation is two-thirds of the population will perish within that hour of the shift.
Within 1 hour?
Within 1 hour. The shift will take anywhere from 45 minutes to an hour. The rest of the speculation goes within 6 months after that, two-thirds of that third will perish because exposure to the elements and starvation. So we're looking at 10% of the population if this scenario does hold up. But I would suggest, given all that, that there's only 1 in 100 people own a computer in this world. How hard would it be if you're informed, that you live on the railroad tracks, the train is coming, and you're informed how to get off the tracks and where to go to be safe. There's a lot of safe places to be.
Like where?
Well,
all right, let's backtrack. Before we get to safe places, what specifically will happen? I've heard people talk about pole shifts and all the rest of it, but what do you actually believe occurs? What happens to the land masses and the oceans, and, what's likely to occur?
Well, the worst part of the situation, the part of the whole scenario, besides the earthquakes, besides the winds, that's going to cause the greatest number to perish is the water. You know, when the earth pauses and the shift happens, the water, maybe the plates will stop at a certain point and butt up against each other, and there will be mountain building and subduction, but the water will not stop. There's nothing stopping the water. The plates stop themselves hitting each other, but the water will come over the shoreline.
So it just keeps coming. You can imagine something turning and then suddenly stopping. And, yes, if the plates didn't shift, the water certainly would, and it would wash over the plates and pretty much erase most of what's there?
Well, the world as we know it will be gone. There will be hundreds of millions of people left. Okay, so you can decide to be one of them. But our civilization, our culture, will be in the past, and we'll have to start anew.
You know, it's kind of eerie. I had a guest last night. I don't know if you happen to be listening. A professor, a very interesting fellow, who claims to be in touch with somebody very far into the future, 5,000 years.
Okay.
And they describe a society that virtually would be the society that could be left after what you're suggesting will occurs. And that it's a very different kind of civilization, not a technical civilization that like we have now, but rather one that just sort of harvests the scraps or what's left from what we have done, which is so long ago at that point. Listen, hold on. Oh, my. Nibiru, Planet X. And Mark says astronomers are beginning to see it. A few weeks ago, I began playing this song, and it brought on many strange things. Shortly after I began playing it, Nancy Sinatra's manager contacted us, and then Nancy Sinatra, and then Mark Hazelwood, who I've got as a guest tonight, and then Lee Hazelwood. This is by Lee Hazelwood and Nancy Sinatra. It is such a trippy song. I just couldn't believe it. It was like falling in love with, you know, you do that with music, fall in love all over again. We're going to take a second out here and go to Texas, because that's where Lee Hazelwood is, Mark's dad. Lee, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, I'm okay. Yeah,
good,
so that,
good.
That's
1 second here. Good morning, Mark.
How you doing, Dan?
Mark, all right, thank you.
Mark has been scaring the hell out of us here for a while, and there's more to come, I'm sure.
I told you he's been scaring the hell out of me for 40 years, so it's all right.
All right. I only have a quick question for you, Lee, maybe a couple, but really one. Somebody emailed me and told me that they had come to you and they had asked you what Some Velvet Morning was all about, what it really was all about, and your reply was, and this may be totally bogus, your reply was alleged to be, what the blank, it was the 60s, you know?
Right.
Is that anywhere near accurate?
The song was written for, Nancy had a TV special in 67, I think it was, and they had some time left over, and the director asked me, he says, can you write a song for this? And I said, yes.
Uh-huh.
And so I can write a song for anything, it doesn't make any difference. But anyway, I wrote that's what I wrote. And, of course, when I wrote it, our big concern was, in those days, was the censor for the network. And I thought, well, he's going to kill us on...
on this one.
He's going to kill us on this one because I want to open up your gate, you know, hooray.
Yeah.
But never bothered. That never bothered him. I see. Open your gate. But some other...
favorite.
Some other little thing in the song that had to do with N...
Huh. Yes.
That's what he nailed. And I said, that's end, E-N-D, end. I said, you know, I'm a southerner. I say in and end the same way.
Right.
Oh, okay, then that's finally. So it went right on by. It didn't make any difference.
What about Phaedra?
Phaedra is my favorite loser Greek goddess. When in all the books you look at about Greek mythology, there's probably, if there's three-quarters of a page on Phaedra. You know, other goddesses, God, there's pages and pages. But if there's three quarters on Phaedra, I mean, she was born unlucky. died unlucky, died young, and everything else. And I always kind of felt sorry for Phaedra, and because I was a great fan of Greek mythology. In fact, I used to read that to Mark and his Greek mythology stories to Mark and his sister when they were growing up, rather than fairy tales. They enjoyed them a lot more. I know they're a little more adult than Mary Had a Little Lamb and all that kind of stuff. But still, that's what I did for them. And Phaedra's my favorite loser goddess. And I thought sometime in my life I'm going to get that in a song. And when I wrote the song, it was a piece of special material for the TV special, Moving with Nancy. And
the way Nancy sings her name is Phaedra will stand the hairs up on the back of your neck. I mean, that's some special song.
It's supposed to be eerie. I think the arrangement helps it, and of course Nancy helped it too. And as Nancy always says, I did all those damn songs that Lee wrote, but I never did know what any of them was about, you know, and God love her for it.
Well, maybe we're going to talk to her. I'll ask her, and I guess that's the answer I'm going to get, huh?
That's it on Phaedra. Phaedra is something else special to me. Phaedra is my youngest daughter's, she's my granddaughter. Phaedra Dawn Stewart is her name. And she lives in Phoenix, and she's one of the loves of my life.
Wow. You named your...
Well, I didn't name Samantha, her mother, my youngest daughter, named her Phaedra because when we were trying to decide names, when she was pregnant and ready to have her, and her and Bob, her husband, are sitting around, and going, this name, Bill, you know, Joanne, da-da-da-da, and I go... And I just said, and she says, I want something really unique, Dad. And I said, how about Phaedra? Of course, Samantha grew up like Deborah and Mark did with these songs and everything else. And she goes, wow, yeah. Well, there won't be a lot of girls in her class named Phaedra, you know, because everybody's named Samantha, everybody named Mark,
that's right,
everybody named Debbie. I wasn't really hunting for names when they were born. But anyway, and so Phaedra exists. She's an exact copy of Samantha, and oh, boy, she's something.
Lee, bless your heart. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
And thanks for answering those very important questions.
All right.
Good night.
Oh, God.
All right, bye. All right, there was your dad, Mark. Well, so, you hear him? Well, you know, when we named Mark, we weren't thinking about any special names. We just sort of slapped him down.
Well, that's about it. I mean, everybody that's named Bill or John or Mark in school always had another one of the same name.
But Phaedra, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That tells what you're talking about here. You know, it would be so easy to dismiss, and a lot of people do. They say, oh, you know, utter baloney. The problem I have with easily dismissing this is that we keep finding these ruins, like off the coast of Cuba, buildings, highways, pyramidal shapes. Now off the coast of India, all over the world, we're beginning to find these things that would indicate that they were here and then gone. And unfortunately, the timelines work out just about right for it being something that comes around about every this often.
Yeah, there's plenty of archaeological
evidence.
Yes, that corresponds precisely to the orbit. And that's something that once you see that first, and you don't even get into the ancient historical accounts, that will cause some cognitive dissonance. That would mean that what you would normally accept when you see the evidence, you don't want to accept, and you try to find every reason not to accept and avoid it and look away from it.
Yeah, denial, very strongly. You believe that some within our government, some within large observatories, are beginning to be somewhat forthcoming at the moment. So what are they doing? I mean, do you have any rumors about what the attitude is like in the observatories and the government? How are they thinking about this?
Well, I believe there's at least three layers of disinformation going on out there, and probably more than that. But the three I've identified is, number one, for the masses that never read and never pay attention, Planet X doesn't exist. Don't pay attention to it. Who cares? Number two would be for the people who have done the research, that know it exists. Don't worry about it. It probably
got knocked out of its orbit. Certainly not going to be back at this time. So yes, it exists, but you know, don't pay attention. Now, the third level of disinformation, which I've gotten from several, you know, whispers from several different observatories in Russia and Canada, is, well, you can't tell them it doesn't exist. You can't tell them it's not inbound. What do you tell them then? Well, first of all, you have to tell them to stay quiet about it. And then you have to tell them, listen, it's not going to cause any damage. Don't worry about it.
Hmm. All right. I want you to hold it right there because of chatting with your dad. I've got to I displaced my commercial break a little bit from where I normally would put it, so I'm going to put it right here, and we'll be right back. Would you like to feel 10 years younger in 10 weeks? Now there's proof. The effects of aging can be slowed down and even reversed with HGH, human growth hormone. For some time now, you've heard me talk about the incredible age-reversing benefits of HGH. Well, according to thousands of articles, higher HGH levels can help you look and feel younger. That's why I take Ultimate HGH, a natural formula to help boost my body's own production of HGH. If your goal is to help improve energy, stamina, lose unwanted fat, diminish wrinkles, enhance memory, immune function, and vision, then Ultimate HGH is for you too. Why let Mother Nature get the best of you? Call today and order Ultimate HGH. And when you order two bottles of Ultimate HGH, you get the third absolutely free, about $33 a month. Now that's a tremendous savings off the typical $100 a month for comparable products. Plus, with your order, you'll receive a free book on HGH, a $20 value, absolutely free. So, call my good friends at Great American Products and order Ultimate HGH today at 1-800-557-4627. That's 1-800-557-4627. 1-800-557-4627.
Right now, one of the hardest things is we see their friends. And we see how much their friends have grown and changed and how big they've gotten. And we cannot see how much Brandy Taylor and Sarah Francis have grown and changed and just going through those milestone years.
Sarah Taylor and Brandy Wiggins were killed by a drunk driver. Friends don't let friends drive drunk. A public service message from the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
From Stephen King, the master of suspense, who brought you The Shining, It, and The Stand, comes a world premiere event written exclusively for ABC Television. Nearly one century ago, an unspeakable evil was born.
Some houses are born bad. Houses like Rose Red.
Now one team's dream to uncover the truth.
Rose Red is a dangerous place to run psychic experiments.
Will become their worst nightmare. Stephen King's Rose Red. Sunday, January 27th at 9, 8 Central on ABC.
Back now to Mark Hazelwood. Mark, if what you say is true, then at some point it's going to begin to get so close that even smaller observatories are going to be clued in. I mean, there's a sort of a, if all of this would be true, there's a crescendo point, there's a break point, there's a point of no return when enough people are going to see this and be aware of what's happening that there's no way the secret such as it is right now will hold. No way.
The cat is already starting to come out of the bag, to tell you the truth. In fact, you know, what we know as global warming is all the result of the approach of this planet.
Oh?
It's has to do with the electromagnetic arms, the relationships between the planets. In fact, back in mid...
Sorry about that. I don't know what that was.
Okay.
That's a new one.
Okay. In the mid-70s, there was a starting of an increase of volcanism and seismic activity. Between the mid-70s and now, that has increased 500%. There's a history of the worst approach changes starting 7 years prior to the passing. At the end of 95, suddenly deep quakes jumped up and started to double worldwide. That had a domino effect, and now it's the 7.0 earth, upwards of 7.0 earthquakes and above that have significantly increased just in the last 2 years.
Deep quakes are interesting. There was one down off the coast of South America a few years ago. It was really, really interesting. It was like 800 and something miles deep. That's really deep. And it was felt all the way across North America. That's incredible. One of the deepest quakes ever recorded. I'm remembering that.
There's also the weather changes that has happened in the last 7 years, which everyone is aware of. Now, when you talk about weather alone, I suppose you could blame it on global warming. But when you're talking about the combination of the uptick of volcanism and seismic activity and weather in combination, which the major media is not letting out.
Good point.
Not putting this together.
That's a good point.
It does not make any sense at all. And Earth is not being singled out. Every planet in this solar system is experiencing some significant changes. I don't know if you've noticed that Saturn is a lot brighter. Our moon is developing an atmosphere. Mars is got a dust storm, an unprecedented dust storm.
That is
these
true.
These solar cycles are way out of sync.
Way out.
Ancient Egyptians identified all the solar cycles we know about, plus another major one.
Big announcement about the ice cap on Mars melting about two weeks ago, I think.
And couple of the major planets have had a tilting of their axes as of late. So the entire solar system is being affected by the approach of this planet, not just us.
Well, if it's doing that at this distance, when it really gets close, then, I mean, it's hard to imagine. Safe spot. You said something about areas that where people would live, where you could choose to go to live through this if you wanted to.
Yes. You would want to be well away from the shorelines. You do not want to be on mountaintops. Mountain building will more than likely happen in the same area. That's not a good thing.
You don't want to be on a mountaintop?
No, you don't. You want to be in the rolling hills. There's going to be winds probably upwards of 200 miles an hour, and those rolling hills will not only protect you from that, but the weather afterwards will be constantly drizzle and rainy. It's going to strip away some of the atmosphere. It'll take a while to rebuild. So,
yeah. You know what? Have you ever heard Gordon Michael Scallion?
Well, yes, I referenced him.
Did?
Yeah, I have a section in my book of intuitives. I give a synopsis of each one of those intuitives, and Gordon is number 5.
Well, Gordon, to me, is number 1. I've interviewed Gordon a number of times, and I know the man personally. He's really serious. His story really makes sense. I believe him all the way. I know a lot more about him than you would imagine I would by having interviewed him here on the air. This is one serious guy, and what he says what he describes is going to occur is exactly what you are describing is going to happen.
Let me say that I know you've had a lot of people on your show talking about remote viewing.
Oh, yes.
And the government has fully admitted that they have used remote viewing. Remote viewing is tapping into a collective
consciousness. That's right.
That all of us are connected to.
Right.
It's this collective unconscious that is warning us. Now, Gordon Michael, you are very close with his material, but there are literally thousands.
Many others, yes.
Of people that are sensing this and talking about it and writing about it.
I know. I know. Believe me, I know.
And a certain percentage of these people actually understand what the cause is. Most are simply given the visions and they don't, that the cause, the passage of Planet X is not identified. But like I said, Gordon is certainly one of those that's know that there's going to be a celestial body involved in these changes.
And you're suggesting, well, I will say one thing about remote viewers. You brought that up. And again, this is going to underline probably for some people some of what you're saying. But remote viewers like Ed Dames have a certain barrier that no matter what they do, they cannot see past. Something so big happens, something so profound occurs that they have no reference for what's on the other side of it. It is so big or catastrophic, it's just a barrier, and they can't see past it. And one has to wonder if it's not exactly this they might be talking about.
Well, I would suggest that this is it. I mean, I found like we said, the archaeological evidence of the ruins from past civilizations.
Stay good and close to the phone for me. That's obvious. I mean, now we know that is true, that they have come and gone before, and roughly mathematically about when you're suggesting this thing is going to happen. How sure of this on a scale of 1 to 10? How sure are you that this information is legit and accurate time-wise and in every other way?
I would have never written this book if I didn't know for sure. Okay, but that knowing is my knowing, and each person has to find their own individual knowing. The reason I wrote this book is because after pouring through shelves of books and with scant information about this Planet X and thousands of pages of websites that talk about Planet X, I suddenly developed a clarity of the simplicity of what is about to happen. And I thought to myself, no one out there yet, as far as I can see, has presented this in such a way so where someone with no knowledge can look at all the angles of this very quickly.
Listen, hold on. We'll be right back. One of these days, the boots are going to walk all over you. May take on a whole new meaning.
You keep saying you got something for me.
When you think of what Planet X does when it passes by Earth on its regular 3,600-year orbit. Mark Hazelwood is here, and he's saying some damn scary things about another planetary body out there headed now quickly this way, which is going to probably kill 2/3 of the world's population. Planet X, Nibiru. You know, even the Hopi, and I did interview the Hopi, you may recall. Oh my, the Hopi had a lot to say about this. Remember? Remember the planetary bodies they talked about? The Hopi? So, this isn't one voice. This isn't just Mark's voice. This is many, 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 many voices that we've heard here on the air. Whether you choose to believe it or not, that's up to you, of course, as always. But in a moment, if you're up to it, and you might not be, I've got a little reading for you to do, because I've got a link you need to see. Got a few reading assignments for you. Before you reject out of hand what Mark is saying, what I want you to do is to go to my website and look for the name Mark Hazelwood, okay? And when you find it, below it, you will find some links. One of those links will be to a Discovery News story. And I'll just read the third paragraph. This is from July 3rd. The discovery of a large reddish chunk of something orbiting in Pluto's neighborhood has reignited the idea that there may be more than 9 planets in the solar system. That's Discovery News. And that's just one of the links that we've got. If you can read the whole story, there's a ton, even a link to the Yahoo group and where the photograph is that he talked about, and all kinds of other very relative links. A lot of interesting information up there, Mark, about Planet X, huh?
Yeah, I'd like to recommend that if someone wants to find a group of people, a community of people that they
that they find that Preparation 2003 group, it's 1,000 people that have gathered just in the last 3 months talking about this issue, talking about preparing. I mean, it's a place where you can ask a question, and there are people there that know more about the subject than me that just haven't not read a book. The amount of posts there, it's upwards of 9,000 now, but there's twice as much information there as in my book. I've just simply consolidated this information in a palatable form, that's all.
Okay.
Also, there's another website.
You've been in this group for quite a while now, huh?
Well, just 3 months. In the last 3 months, all these people have shown up. It's not my website. A lady read my book and along with some other information she had prior and decided spontaneously to create this this e-group.
Okay, here's my question for you. Where are you now physically? Where are you, Mark?
Future ocean bottom. It's Orlando, Florida.
Orlando. So an obvious question for you is, what are you planning on doing about this personally and when?
For whatever reason, I have a family member here. My mother holds the deed to my property, and I've been bugging her. She has it on her file to bring it over because I'm going to sell it. I'm probably going to move maybe back to my home state of Arizona, or more than likely, there's actually a group of us here that want to look into Canada because, for whatever reason, the best indicators I'm getting is that this is kind of strange. 90% of the people in Canada are supposed to survive without even paying attention to this, just because of where they are tectonically and where they're supposed to end up. I mean, they're supposed to end up like where Southern California is in relative to the new equator.
This is not horrendous news for everybody. I have, we're covered totally coast to coast in Canada.
No, absolutely not.
I'm telling you right now, we're on coast to coast.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
We're on coast to coast in Canada. So, in other words, what I'm saying is you're giving at least some reasonable news to some portion of my audience.
Well, there's the upper United States. There's a lot of scientists that are contracting out dome homes up in the upper part of the United States next to Canada. A dome home would be a structure that would survive the worldwide earthquakes at the time during the shift and the high winds.
Yeah, I guess a dome is good in the wind, isn't it?
Yeah, it's good for the quakes also. There's something about a structure of a dome. When you put pressure on any side of it, the entire structure takes that pressure and relieves that pressure, whereas, you know, in a normal home, when you press on one side, all of the pressure goes on that one side.
Yeah, goes down like matchsticks, basically, in a big quake.
Yeah.
A dome. So some people are getting really serious about this, is what you're telling me.
Yeah, in fact, just in the last 3 weeks, I've run across a website that someone could ask about, because I can't rattle off the top of my head, where people are building rammed earth dome homes for just $1,000. I mean, they're just taking earth, they're putting in sandbags, they're putting a barbed wire to hold it together, and then finishing it off, and they look like beautiful little hobbits. Not spending much money doing it. That's the point here, because not everyone...
You know, it's interesting. I've seen some new domes here in Pahrump, where I live. They're building some dome houses. It's kind of neat. And, I wonder if this is why they're doing it.
Well, whether it's the reason or not, perhaps they're acting instinctively, and they're just doing the right thing without knowing the reason why. For sure, you don't need to know the reason why, really, for the up-and-coming events. I mean, there's been survivalists that have been gathering together for years, and they just know something's going to happen here, and
we're
just following
their
instincts.
Yeah, we're going to have quite a bit of warning, though, right, according to you. In other words, from the time when the news is, according to you, inevitable, it's close enough that a small astronomical organizations are seeing it. It's breaking all over the news. Yes, it's on the way. That's going to be a pretty wild time. But still, even after that, there's going to be how long from the time of realization of the masses, you're saying, until...
Personally, I don't think it'll happen until the last few weeks, because there'll be paid for debunkers on the other side of the argument.
Really?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I've come up against them, and I'll continue to come up against them, and they're part of the perfection. I expect them to be there. The panic, the collapse of the financial markets would happen if this got out too widespread. You know, I expect to hopefully get this message out to as many people as possible, and that is about it. The first word of my book is blindsided, because that is what the majority of the population will be. They will not pay attention to it.
Well, we were blindsided when two buildings went down in New York, too. We understand blindsided better now than we did then.
That may be a good thing as a result of that. If people are kind of knocked off center and are looking around for, you know, something they wouldn't normally look around for, or paying attention a little more closely than they would normally. If that happens as a result of that, then there could be a good, you know, silver lining to that happening.
I suppose, but it's still not a real big one. I mean, if two-thirds of the Earth's population is going to die, then, you know, that's bad. I guess we can do those listening to us some good if all of this is true. Do you hold out the slightest possibility, Mark, that this simply isn't true, that something will intervene or something will be not as imagined or thought, or it seems to be something will change that will cause this not to happen, or no, it's totally, absolutely inevitable?
For myself, it's totally, absolutely inevitable, simply because, you know, I've read, to find this information, I've had to sift through quite a bit of spiritual material, and for what I understand, I didn't put a lot of this in my book because I wanted to just the focus of it is just the reality of it. It's inbound. It causes calamities with each passage, but on a purely spiritual side, I believe this to be part of the perfection of a new society that's supposed to spring up from the ruins of this one. The hundreds of millions of people that are left in order to survive will have to come together, and they will have to work together in order to survive, and this will be the beginning of something that's hopefully beautiful.
Where do you think you fit in to the new society?
I hope to be there. I hope to help people and spend time with my family, and make friends, and be optimistic at every turn. I eat very frugally. I like to show people that they don't need very much food at all in order to survive. You know, food is going to be hard to come by in the after times. And
how I suppose the modern conveniences that we've come to know and love and depend on are kapui, gone, history, new way of lifetime, that sort of thing?
For many people, yes. There will be pockets, though, that will come up as far as I can see. I mean, why wouldn't there be? That? There's just way too much technology for it all to be lost.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I fully expect, cities to spring up again after a few decades with the different technology, high technology. It'll all come back at one point in a different way, though. But I suppose for the majority, it'll be more rural, simpler, easier, probably a more down-to-earth society.
Huh.
Something to look forward to, in my opinion. I mean, after all the calamities come and go, and it's years later.
Well, I suppose that's one way to look at it.
Well, that's why I see the perfection.
Yes.
That's why I don't doubt it, because I'm optimistic. I see a new culture that's a lot better than this one coming.
Is there any biblical support for any of what you're saying?
Well, the boiling down the hundreds of intuitives that I've read, I boiled it down to 17. One of those 17 is simply a combination of biblical prophecies. In fact, I've been in touch with, you might say, the far right politically, that believe in the Bible word for word, and they're starting to embrace this, because Ezekiel 37 through 39 and Revelation, if you read carefully the ancient historical text that identifies what happens when this planet goes by and what they expect, it fits right in with those. So, yes, that is a piece of the pie here. The intuitives have gotten into the Bible.
Well, that figures. I mean, those who interpret literally and take every word to be absolute, I can see how they would make this fit together. No question about it. Isn't it liable to spark all kinds of social weirdness if people believe this, you know? Dangerous stuff, people going berserk, or do you think it'll just sort of generally be accepted as the lambs accept their fate?
Well, I don't expect everyone to accept this. It will, for the people that newly find this out, it'll affect them emotionally, mentally, spiritually, such that after they learn it, it will take at least a few weeks or a few months for them to absorb it completely and accept it wholeheartedly, simply because it'll change their ideas of how they look at everything and everybody. It really pulls the rug out right out from underneath what you feel is...
It would if you believed it were true. It sure would.
Yeah, if you reach that level of clarity, if you look at the subject close enough, that's the process. I know it happened to me when I first developed the clarity. It took quite a while before, you know, I turned around and in a way embraced it and accepted it. It just changes so many things in your mind and life.
Mark, maybe it's my mission in life ultimately to talk this baby in, and maybe that's what I'm here for.
Well, you know, Art, you have a great show. You bring on interesting people and fascinating subjects and serious issues.
Oh, yes.
And you turn it into entertainment. I mean, a show where each time, a show where people come back each time. Can you imagine a society where every classroom, every teacher, every learning institution took the entertainment value of presenting the subject just as serious as the subject? I mean, kids would run to school.
Well, that's right. They'd be interested, fascinated, riveted. I believe that also, of course, Mark. I believe that.
Well, that's the format.
I was quite serious with what I just said. I've speculated for years that if something really, really big were headed at Earth, I could imagine myself, somehow see myself as outside, looking up at this thing with a mic in hand, talking this baby in, you know, telling everybody what was going on. I can just sort of see it.
The format of your show has already done that.
Oh.
I mean, didn't you have on a priest back in 1997 that talked about the inbound in 5 to 10 years?
Yes.
Okay. You've been doing that for quite some time.
Father Malachi Martin.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You've been talking this in for quite some time. The format of your show.
Yeah, that might be one way of looking at it, I suppose. I suppose I can think of it that way, that I've been doing this for some years now. And
I mean, a lot of the people, the listeners of your show, that they're rare. They probably have 50% of what is to be known to realize this. 50+%. Some have 100.
All right.
It doesn't take much for them to understand the reality.
A lot of people are going to want to start following the trail. You know, they will be obviously curious enough or worried enough or concerned enough that they're going to want to start to try to find out for themselves whether this can be true. Now, we've got a lot of links up on my website tonight, and everybody's going to have to make their own judgment. But there is a lot of information about what Mark's saying, and you need to do some reading before you... you know, cast this away as just baloney. So that would be a good place to begin. And ultimately, if somebody's really interested, you would suggest they get involved in this group, right?
That's correct. Also, there's another website there that lists about
40 or 50 books is simply confirmation material for my text that is featured on top. And one of those books happens to be co-authored by a man by the name of Art Bell, The Coming Global Superstorm. I wouldn't suggest to go there to get it, though.
Hold on a moment, Mark. All right. So you can go do some reading on your own. And I understand a lot of you don't believe this or don't want to believe it or whatever, but the reading is there if you want to do it. It's all on artbell.com under tonight's guest, Mark Hazelwood's name. That's a good place to begin. Well, I love you, too. Mark Hazelwood is my guest, and what I think I'm going to do in a moment is to turn him over to all of you and let you ask questions or what have you. It's pretty serious stuff. His book, entitled Blindsided, Planet X Passes in 2003, and then in capital letters, Earth Changes with an exclamation point after that. So I think that'll be it. I do want to ask, though, just first, if I can. Mark, since you've written this book, what's been the fallout from it? And what did your dad say?
What did my dad say?
Yeah, what'd he say?
Well, his first reaction was, you need to get on the Art Bell show.
Did he really say that?
Oh, absolutely.
He did?
I mean, and he's kept on saying that.
Well, yeah, but I don't mean...
And
so
I'm
much.
Serious. That was his first reaction. I mean, he didn't even... he knew about the material, but he just discounted it. I mean, he just looked at it, I guess, from purely trying to get the information out, getting sales for the book. I don't know.
Maybe it was your only hope is Art Bell.
That was his attitude. Get on the Art Bell show. It's the perfect format, he said.
Well, it is. It absolutely is the perfect format. He was dead right about that. So, you know, I know a lot of people are headed to the links that we've got up there right now, including the one to your book. And they will, a lot of people, you know, they'll take it different ways. Some are going to be angry, Mark.
Listen, I've gotten the most colorful emails imaginable.
Bet. Yeah, I bet.
And by the way, I do not get upset at these people that approach me that way, because when I was first introduced to this material, I fit in that category. My language is a little more colorful than even some of the ones that I've gotten, and I ignored it completely for several months. I mean, it just, that's the nature of the first introduction to this material.
Yeah.
All reactions are perfect, in my opinion.
Okay. Well, then you're liable to get the range of them. I know that a lot of people in my audience know a lot about what you're talking about.
That's a good thing.
You're going to sure get some of that, but I bet we get the full range. Anyway, we'll never know until we try. First time caller line, you're on the air with Mark Hazelwood. Hi.
Yeah, Mark.
Hi.
Hi, Mark. How are you doing tonight? Listen, fascinating stuff.
Where are you, sir?
Oh, this is Jamie from La Quinta.
La Quinta, all
right. La Quinta, California.
All right.
I heard about this back in 1994. This is when I first heard about this and X thing.
Where from?
Zachariah Sitchin was a guest on Chuck Carter's show.
Okay.
And he sold a video, a one-hour video of this, and it was very fascinating. And at the end of that video, he went to the United States Naval Observatory and talked to some high official guy. Anyways, he told Dr. Zachariah Sitchin that you're exactly right in what you're talking about, and pointing out we think the planet is in this section, just about the same area where you feel it's in this area. And that really blew me away. One question. This planet, from what I understood through the video through Dr. Zachariah Sitchin, it struck Earth once before, which created our asteroid belt.
Is that something you believe, Mark, that there was actually at some point a physical collision?
It's easy to find out the reality of this planet, the fact that it, you know, causes calamities each time and is inbound now. These other side issues, I can only say that I've heard about them. And from the best knowledge that I've come across as far as dealing with that question is, Planet X didn't exactly strike, I think it was Tiamat was the name of the planet prior to Earth. It was simply one of its moons. From what I understand, you know, and this is something that, you know, I certainly can't confirm, that the Planet X actually has seven moons trailing it, and at one point it passed close, and one of those moons struck this larger planet, maybe I'm mispronouncing the name, Tiamat, and the result of that was that the largest chunk became Earth. I mean, I have no way to verify that. That's just, you know, part of the information that I've run across, you know, with studying this material.
Hmm. So it could be our creator as well as our destroyer.
Well,
that's what you just said, in a way.
Yeah, that's exactly true. I just thought about what you said for half a second, and no, that is true, absolutely true. It could have been the beginning.
The creator and the destroyer.
You wrapped that up pretty well.
Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Mark Hazelwood. Hello.
Good morning, Art, and good morning, Mark.
Good morning.
I want to thank you for, I don't know, confirming why I want to move to Canada all these years.
Okay.
I learned about Planet X, actually, from a tabloid magazine as a child.
All right.
And I don't know.
How old are you?
I retained that memory. I was probably, I don't know, 8 or 9.
How old are you now?
32.
Okay.
So Planet X has been in my memory for quite some time. And, you know, I don't want to say it's so much frightening as it is compelling right now.
I, too, have seen it in tabloids, and it wasn't that many years ago. I've seen it. I never picked it up, but I've seen the headlines. By God, I have.
Well, I'd like to say something about the Planet X stories and tabloids. That is actually, in some way, it's a combination of things. Part of that is part of the disinformation, and part of that is getting the information out. In other words, if you see something in a tabloid, you're really not going to take it seriously.
Mm.
Whereas, at the same time, if the powers that be are not in complete agreement, which I don't think they are in disclosing this, then part of the time they're giving hints all over the place. And this may be one of their ways of getting the information out. I mean, they can't come clean. They have to break the catch-22 of holding on to this information for so long. So they give hints here and there in several different ways without actually coming out and saying, this is it.
Do you suppose, Mark, that they have concluded that to say something would simply drive the world literally mad? We'd have some sort of Mad Max scenario on our hands between now and Planet X time?
That is my conclusion, and I don't necessarily disagree with how they're handling it in that regard at this point. Now, if they would have announced
But if all of this is true, and you're out there spoiling their little secret, then they're not going to regard you well.
No, I don't think so, because, you know, it's easy to go after me. I don't hold any weight in the scientific community. I'm simply a musician's son, you know, a 45-year-old crazy grandfather. I mean, it's easy to discount me. Also, they know something for sure. Even if they announced it on normal TV day after day, most people wouldn't even take it seriously until they saw it. The majority of the public out there would not even pay attention if they shouted it from the street corners day after day. Really, that is the level of our society, not the Art Bell audience.
Well,
the majority of the people don't care.
For one thing, people have been shouting it from, you know, streets for quite a while.
Right, and who's listening?
And who's listening? You know, you can see them on the street corners of any big city. Redeem yourself now, it's on the way, blah, 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 to anything more specific, you know, yeah. So, if anything, that'll just sort of make people dismiss it all the more.
Well, I kind of believe I fit right into their scenario as far as getting the information out through grassroots. And I am certainly a grassroots source.
Mm-hmm.
They want a certain amount of people to know about this.
Yeah, but I mean, aren't you somewhat concerned that somebody's going to come along and mow you?
No, I have no concern at all. None whatsoever. I've been spiritually led to do this, and I feel I'm spiritually protected. And if something like that happens...
Well, lots of great figures in the past, Mark, who were spiritually led, are now dead.
All right. Well, you have to understand my attitude. At this point, being on the Art Bell Show, having done several other radio shows prior to this, it's too late. If they make a martyr out of me, the people on the Preparation 2003 list, they would step up in mass. I mean, making a martyr out of me would, that would be worse than leaving me alone and discrediting me.
Huh.
And attacking my character, which is already being done quite a bit.
I got a bunch of emails. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Mark Hazelwood. Hello?
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, guys. My name's Leanne. I'm from Chattanooga.
Okay.
Mark, you have thrown me for a loop. I've been hugging my husband in terror. A couple of questions. First, for myself, and I guess my neighbors as well, is Tennessee Valley safe? And how big is this planet? What's it composed of? And if you could talk a little bit more about the seven moons that trail it, that would be fantastic.
All right.
Get up the air.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, from the best of my understanding, and this is from hard scientific sources from modern astronomy, the size of the planet is about 4 to 5 times the mass of Earth, but it's not like a normal planet in our solar system. It's what is known as a failed star, classically a brown dwarf. Now, it doesn't fit classically into a brown dwarf category. It's actually a little smaller than what it should be. But so it's a lot denser. So it has more weight. It's like the professional wrestler of the planetary world. You know, in fact, I kind of see it as the half brother with a bad reputation that comes by every once in a while and disrupts everything and then leaves.
Are you aware of Hopi prophecy?
Oh, absolutely. I reference Hopi prophecy in my book. I mean, it's not one of my intuitives, but towards the end I couldn't help it. Because, I've read when the Phoenix Rising, I believe, was the name of the book or something, and a couple others. Certainly, I'm very aware of it. Yeah, Phoenix Rising, it's right here. Mary Summerrain. I have several shelves of books that are all about this subject.
Yeah, but I've interviewed Hopi elders here.
Oh, you have?
Oh, on the air, yes.
Oh, gee.
With translations. It was a hard show to do, but it was awesome. And
Fit right in.
What the elders said about what would be coming in our skies. And the stages, it all fits exactly right in. They say it a very different way and, put it a very different way. And to them, it's a spiritual matter, period.
Yeah, that's the optimism I have about it. I mean, I guess you could call me someone who's talking about doom. I'm not a prophet or a psychic or anything like that. But I don't see it that way. I mean, this is going to be...
You're not exactly a Yuletide messenger either.
No, but I see it as the most exciting times in thousands of years. And I believe, I have a very good chance of survival simply because I'm forewarned. And I'm going to take the obvious steps try to be in a safe area.
So you think Arizona might be safe?
Oh, there's going to be... places in Arizona, high elevation, rolling hills, certainly.
Okay.
Not all of it.
Any particular elevation that's more attractive to you than another?
Well, I would say, 900 feet or higher, but like I said, stay away from the mountains. Why do you think the mountains are there? I mean, during past passages, the tectonic plates hit each other and mountains got made. Pardon me?
Big mountains got made.
Right, exactly. And if you're there, you'll be part of that making again. And you'll meet your maker.
Yeah. You wouldn't want to be on what's turning into a mountain right before your very eyes.
Right. You don't want to be in flat plains, so it's going to be constant rain, and the melting poles, the water's going to be coming up. So the rolling hills are your best bet.
The rolling hills where the rain would just sort of roll down.
Yeah, and it protects you against the high winds.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy. If it's not one thing, it's another. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Mark Hazelwood. Hello.
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 Are you familiar with Alexander Gerstein?
It rings a bell.
He had written an article in the Sky and Telescope October 1995, I'm sorry. And it appears that the zodiac calendar is actually a lot longer than what people believe.
Zodiac calendar. I'm not familiar
with it.
Yeah,
you lost me there, too.
Well, it's one of the oldest... call me nervous.
Okay.
I've never been on the air before.
Just relax and tell us what you're trying to say.
Okay. I can appreciate that. I was on the air for the first time just a few weeks ago.
I wish I would have had a chance to reread the article before I called, but it definitely indicates that, according to Alexander Gerstein, that it really looks like we are... This entire solar system is revolving around something else.
Yeah, central sun. That's my understanding.
Our sun is in orbit around.
All of this is actually in orbit around something else. Yes.
Okay.
All right. I get the idea. I'm not sure exactly how it fits in with the Planet X scenario specifically.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. But I thought it was. I've been waiting for you to have the show, so I could bring this up. I've held on. I cut this out of Sky and Telescope, like I said, October 95, and it's an article by Alexander Gerstein.
All right, we'll check it out.
TQ in Medford.
Maybe it is relevant in some way. Who knows?
It could be a tie-in to the other sun, the dark sun.
Yeah. Could be. So many things we just don't know. First time caller line, you're on the air with Mark Hazelwood. Hi.
Hi there, how you doing?
Okay.
This is Brandon Click, or Brandon from Ashland.
Yes.
Yes, well, two things I wanted to mention. First of all, on two of the websites, it says that mountains are actually a safe place to be, and I don't think that's probably correct.
I agree with you. I don't control any of those websites, you have to understand. I can only make suggestions. I'm certainly, someone who posts, have posted there, Are you talking about Preparation 2003?
Yeah.
Yeah, for example, in Hawaii, people come on my show and they're famous for saying, there's going to be this big calamity, ocean's going to rise and big tidal waves and all the rest of it, but we're cool here in Hawaii because we have a big mountain.
Yeah.
To them, you would say what?
Well, I don't recommend mountains whatsoever. In fact, if I could make a suggestion to the owner of the list to take that down, that would be nice.
In a historical reference, I guess 3,000 years ago, is there any type of documentation, like around, I guess, that 8,000 BC?
We're talking around between 1600 and 1700 BC. There's quite a bit of evidence. I mean, here's something you cannot argue with. Tree rings worldwide were narrowed during that time. That gives rise to volcanoes going off and screwing up the atmosphere for years. And the sea levels worldwide dropped 15 to 20 feet. I think somewhere the bowels of the oceans opened up and poured into the bowels of the earth is what I meant.
All right. Hold on, Mark. If you're willing to keep going, I certainly am. All right?
Yes.
Stay right there. Rest here at the top of the hour, and we'll bring more people on with you. Planet X, that's what we're talking about. It's a big one. It's a dense one. And when it comes by, things that are going to change. Oh, what a wise man knows, huh? What a fool believes, is that what this is, or what a wise man knows? Something happened in our distant past, and a lot of people are saying it's about to happen again. In a moment, we'll continue with Mark Hazelwood. Stay right there. You know, Mark mentioned Father Malachi Martin. One of the things that Father Malachi Martin confirmed when he was on the air was that the Vatican, as I think I've told you before, I think it's on Mount Graham, if I'm correct, something like that, went into Arizona and to a mountaintop and blew by all kinds of environmental concerns very quickly to get this observatory built in Arizona. And the Vatican is looking really, really hard at something out there, and they're trying to find something. I mean, you would have to presume to push through all these environmental concerns to get something up with influence all the way from Rome to get it done. They're looking for something out there. You given any thought to that, Mark?
Absolutely. There are four or five different religions, actually, that own observatories. The reason being is because they have access to ancient texts that they're not letting on, that talk about, you know, the incoming planet in more detail than the text that the general population is allowed to look at. So they're all fully aware of it, and they've been told to stay silent, and they're trying to figure out exactly when it'll come, and pretty much they already know, and they're looking at it.
Well, I guess that brings me a little bit back to what you're doing now. Here you are. You've written a book, and you're on my program now, and telling everybody this is going to happen. How do you feel about that? In other words, even though you cast yourself as nothing more than a musician's son with some information and a book compiled from the information, it's still real serious stuff. And on the one hand, I almost heard you say, well, it might be better if people don't know. Is it just your attitude that because you portray yourself this way or people take you this way, no problem, you can talk about it? Or, you know, how have you thought about this?
This is the reality that I'd like to see. If that is true, as far as how people view me, I hope it is. That's all I can say. I don't know about that. I figure that I have to stay positive while doing this, and I'm not going to consider the other possibilities. But at the same time, I have no fear. I figure, if God has a plan for me, and he wants me to be taken out at a certain point, that's fine by me. I'm sure whatever existence that I go on to next will be better than this one.
I share that view in general. All right, let's take some more calls, see what we get. First time caller line, you're on the air with Mark Hazelwood. Hello.
Hello, my name is Michael from Merlin, Oregon, and I've waited 40 years for this show.
Really?
Yeah, waited 40 years. Way back in college, began to read the works of Immanuel Velikovsky and Worlds in Collision, and became very interested in it. And he was dealing with the mass amnesia in mankind. I mean, people will not accept the fact that there is something coming that has occurred before periodically. I went into that line. I began to examine everything I could. I began to travel around the world. I began to study the Aboriginal people, archaeology, and so forth. And I began to study all the books, including the Bible. And as far as I'm concerned, like I said, I waited 40 years for the mass consciousness to break to this point where we can wake up and realize if we don't straighten up our act, we're going out. And
Wait a minute. Yeah. Now, see, that's that's kind of a... You took off right at the very end into sort of a different... territory, but what do you mean if we don't straighten up? The way I'm hearing this, this is on the way. It is, and whether we straighten up or we don't straighten up, it's toast time.
Now, it's a little bit more complex than that.
Is it?
In other words, the event that's coming is basically if we here, do what's necessary in ourselves to prepare for the coming,
yes,
then the outworking will actually be beneficial. I think Mark alluded to that.
He did, yes, but that's at the other side of Nevertheless, two-thirds of the population going...
Well, we put it mildly. That's our problem, you see. For instance, you asked before about the Bible. I mean, in the year 1600 B.C., approximately 3,600 years ago, the strongest country on earth at that time was Egypt, greatest army, and it was completely destroyed by the last visit of this planet. We call it the Ten Plagues. You know, we read it all the time, but we never really recognized that there was something manifest at that time. And yet, you see what happened, and what I meant is the people were slaves, then millions of people weren't slaves, they're out in the desert, and at that point, they had an opportunity to do something, which, and this is a whole story, they didn't do. And they didn't prepare themselves, and now here comes this planet again.
What could they have done?
Could have given up the state of slavery in themselves, and they didn't.
And then what would have changed? I mean, planetary mechanics, sir, are planetary mechanics.
Okay, I'll tell you what would have changed. You see, that's why you're the master of what you do. You draw that out of people, and now you're going to make me sound flaky. What I'm saying is that there is a vibrational pattern that we establish in the behavior on Earth as people that influences the electromagnetic, geographical, gravitational, what have you, pathways, signs, and seasons are out there. In other words...
All right, I'm not completely oblivious to this argument.
Exactly.
I've done some experiments, as you well know, with the human mind that...
Yes, that's it exactly. And now what I'm saying is that, you know, they say, know the truth and the truth shall make you free. Well, here's the point. What is the knowing of the truth if not to reorient one's mind, one's consciousness, and the setting free is from the implications of what could have happened? In other words, this planet will either destroy us or bring us back into balance. Now, here's the stretch in consciousness. How can our attitudes on Earth influence something as large as a planet? See, there's the stretch in consciousness, and that way. But I mean, that's why I say I wouldn't want to push in that direction at this point. But to suggest that there is, I think Mark kind of mentioned, spiritual implications in the behavior of mankind that sets up a field in one's heart, in one's consciousness, in one's body, as it were, that interacts with creation out there, including the planet. In other words, what I'm suggesting. We're much more of a living organism
than we imagine.
Exactly. And, you know, we look at it mechanistic. And what I meant when I sort of...
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
It's simple. And I just talk from the heart.
All right, listen, sir, hold it there. That's plenty to chew on.
Thank you, sir.
I appreciate the call. Yes, you
thank
bet.
You.
Take care. Mark, let's chew on that for a second. He seems to be, you know, indicating that if man goes through some massive... change, and there is a great general mindset change that somehow what should be happening, no matter what we do, does not happen. Do you subscribe to any of that?
I agree and I disagree. In other words, I believe absolutely what he says individually. Individually, if you change your consciousness, you will be led to the right area. What you will experience, as opposed to what the rest of the people will experience, will just be excitement and interesting times and an upliftment of your consciousness. Whereas the rest of the people during the same event, the event isn't changing at all. It's your perspective. It's how you deal with it. It's what you experience.
So then, in some substance, you disagree with that caller.
Like I said, I agree.
But you're saying it's kind of a cop out in a way. You're saying, yeah, sure, you can avoid it individually because you can conclude it's real and get to a safe place. He was saying the planetary mechanics would actually change and it would never happen. So that's a point of fairly significant disagreement.
Right, that is true. But it all boils down to the individual. I mean, if you change your consciousness and perhaps don't even prepare, there's a greater chance you'll get lucky, and while the majority perish around you, you are still there. You, in some way or fashion, led yourself to...
All right,
good luck.
Yeah, okay. I see you meet that far. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Mark Hazelwood. Hello.
Good evening, gentlemen, or good morning, as it may be.
Probably morning for most.
This is Pat near San Francisco.
Yes, sir.
I will probably ignore any mass exodus. First of all, I'm older than you, Art. And I'm an old war horse. Sustained much damage to the body. Not much use to anybody but myself and my cats. So
you and your cats are going to ride it out.
I will try to make life comfortable for my cats, and we will just take what comes.
You know, I don't disagree with that attitude. You know, I really don't disagree with that might surprise you, Mark. But to some degree, I don't disagree with that attitude. I live here in the desert, not too very far from Death Valley. And if what you say is true, this was once the desert of the sea out here, you know. I mean, the sea was here long ago, and the sea could be here again. And I don't think, Mark, that I would pick up and move sticks. You know, I'd stick it out and probably be gurgling.
Well, I don't disagree with y'all's attitude whatsoever.
You don't?
Not whatsoever.
Well, then why not stay in Florida?
Well, no. I mean, for someone who has lived, you know, a long, good life, I mean,
yes.
Why would they want to pull up roots?
Yeah.
And start again? It would just be too hard on them. So they experience, you know, as long as they don't sit around and fear this, you know, as it comes, just to welcome it. I mean, there's no reason for them to try to start over again. I mean, I really believe that that's the reason why there's so many elder people here in Florida. They've just been naturally led here.
I see. So their level of acceptance, you feel, would be much higher. Que sera, sera kind of attitude.
Right. I feel, in fact, that they should discount this completely and ignore it. The majority of the elder population.
Well, I mean, that might be cruel advice, too.
Well, if, from my standpoint, you know, I happen to, you know, have a belief in reincarnation. I don't think it's cruel. I mean, why would anyone, you know, in the latter part of their life want to pull up their roots and try to start anew? I mean, that'd be very difficult.
Well, even with reincarnation, if two-thirds of us are suddenly gone, it's going to be like a long waiting line at the reincarnation counter.
Well, I don't know anything about that. So, I mean, there may be other planets, other existences, other types of, you know, entities to reincarnate in. I don't know. I mean, this is all speculation.
That's right. I mean, if you think it's bad,
philosophy.
Fine now. All right, east of the Rockies, you're on the air with Mark Hazelwood. Hello.
Hey, Art. Hey, Mark.
Hey.
This is Mark in Olathe, Kansas. I'm listening on 710 Talk AM in Kansas City.
Yes, sir.
It was interesting that other guy mentioned Velikovsky, because that's why I called, too. I was reading Earth and Upheaval several years ago, and he talked about the Earth and what would provide the energy for the Earth to actually flip over on its axis, and he conceded that the Earth in itself doesn't have enough energy to just flip, you know?
Right.
And he mentioned a couple of possibilities. The best one, I thought, was if the Earth passed through a cloud of really heavily electrically charged gas, if the charge was high enough, the iron core of the Earth might flip, you know, abruptly. And I thought that was, you know, that just kind of a light bulb went off my head. It's like, wow, yeah, that kind of would work, wouldn't it? You know, but this, if it's a big, huge, heavy with a lot of gravity, I suppose it'd do the same thing. And I was reading in there where he talked about all these caves in different places in the world that are just filled with thousands on thousands of skeletons of animals that were just like crushed and packed in there as if they'd got caught in this giant wave and just crushed down into the earth, you know, all at once. And there's like places in Siberia and there's places in Alaska that are like that. And
just think, two-thirds of us then would be future petroleum reserves.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Just as a reference, chapter 18, page 198 of The Coming Global Superstorm says just that.
Here's an interesting moment for us, Mark. There are those who accuse you of stealing their ideas or their work. That's one of the criticisms that comes at you, right?
This is correct.
And but you know, I can't figure out really whose work you're stealing, because Zachariah Sitchin said the same stuff. The Hopi elders have said the same stuff. There are all kinds of groups out there that are saying this kind of stuff. And so I don't exactly get it. It's like, whose material is this really? It's all kinds of people's material, right?
I reference over 50 people in my book, and I point 100 different directions to spread the blame of this. I mean, it's coming. These ideas are coming from our collective consciousness into the most sensitive people, the intuitive, and scientists, and people who have, you know, secretive ancient texts, like within the Vatican, etc. I mean, this is.
So you think the Vatican really knows?
Oh, absolutely.
Huh.
I mean, they're not the only one. I mean, I'm not pointing towards them exclusively.
Well, I always rather thought they did not reveal the entire third secret of Fatima. It sort of struck me as, if you listen to Father Malachi Martin, who knew the third secret of Fatima, and then you listen to the revelation as it came and was supposedly in its wholeness, these were not the same things at all. What Father Malachi Martin said would stand the hair on the back of your head up for sure, and your neck and all other parts of your body simultaneously. You know, he said things like, well, if you can imagine, the worst you can imagine, if you close your eyes and you imagine the worst thing you could for planet Earth, it's worse than that.
Bullshit.
And that's what he said. And then, of course, Third Secret of Fatima came out, and it was about an attempted assassination of a pope. So, not the same things at all. Anyway, listen, hold on, Mark. We're at the bottom of the hour. It's a coming, I guess. So when it does, just rock me gently. I'm Mark Bell.
Ain't it good? Ain't it right? You are with me here tonight. Music playing, our body swaying in time. Touching you, so warm and tender. Lord, I feel such a sweet surrender. Beautiful is the dream that makes you mine. Rock me gently, rock me slowly. Take it easy.
Depends on WPRO's exclusive AccuWeather forecast.
Mostly cloudy overnight, low 26. Thursday, cloudy with a period of wet snow, changing to rain or drizzle with little or no accumulation, high 42. Clearing Thursday night, low 30. With WPRO's exclusive AccuWeather, I'm Reggie Love.
You can depend on AccuWeather and News Talk Radio 630, WPRO.
Secretary of State Colin Powell stops in Kabul today, reiterating promises of long-term U.S. support for Afghanistan and its rebuilding, and he thanked Afghan government officials for their support in the war on terrorism.
To the chairman and to his colleagues, our admiration of the courage that they have shown in recent months, and to thank them for the cooperation they have given to our efforts to defeat terrorism and to be a partner in this continuing campaign of anti-terrorist activity throughout the world.
U.S. investigators say they don't think the Al-Qaeda terror group was capable of making chemical, biological, or radiological weapons. Officials have been testing some suspicious-looking canisters that were found at Al-Qaeda sites in Afghanistan, but they say they appear to be harmless. On this, the 11th anniversary of the Gulf War, Iraqi President Saddam Hussein says his country is prepared for and would foil any U.S. military attack on Iraq as part of the war against terrorism. Dorothy McIntyre, ABC News.
Here's what listeners are saying about the Dan York Show.
Came back from El Paso, and I missed the show terribly.
I am now changing my station and my car.
Long time listening to your show. Enjoy the program. We don't always agree, but hey, that's okay.
Thank you for keeping us entertained as we drive home. I'm not much of a talk show person, except for your show. I like listening to your show on the way home.
It's faster. It's hipper. It's just a better afternoon talk show. Dan York, 3 till 6 on WPRO.
The only thing better than courtside seats is courtside seats with me, Folgers Cafe Latte. I'm the finger dunking mug in your face, covered a goddamn, baby. And I always hit for 3 points. Rich, creamy, and frothy. I am the coffee at three peaks. 3, 2, 1, he shoots, but I score.
Folgers Cafe Latte, the big-headed coffee.
I know it's basketball and all, but you got a little dribble on your lip, cuz.
One reason people say they don't buy LoJack is their car comes with a factory-installed alarm. What do you do when you hear an alarm go off? You ignore it, right? Well, so do car thieves. That's why you need LoJack. Nationally, vehicles equipped with LoJack are recovered over 90% of the time, usually in hours, sometimes minutes after being reported stolen to the police. LoJack is the only stolen vehicle recovery system used by the police. For more information, see your car dealer or visit us at LoJack.com. LoJack. Protect what's yours.
I'm a Gold Bond guy. Ordinary products don't work for me, but Gold Bond's medicated to work as hard as I do.
Drill press operator Michael Harding of Charlotte, North Carolina, talks about Gold Bond medicated body powder.
Gold Bond powder keeps me cool, dry, and itch-free.
I'm a Gold Bond mom.
For her family, Allison Lee from Atlanta, Georgia, uses Gold Bond medicated anti-itch cream.
Gold Bond anti-itch cream works for fast relief of skin irritations, rashes, and bug bites.
Gold Bond. Medicated to work as hard as you do. Use only as directed.
This is Coast to Coast with Art Bell. The WPRO Morning News, bright and early, starting at 5. It's everything you need to start the day on AM 630, WPRO.
Now you'll get 2 free issues, 14 for the price of 12. Subscribe online at artbell.com or call right now, 1-888-727-5505. That's 1-888-727-5505.
Kingdom of Nye, from west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222. And the wildcard line is open at 1-775-727-1295. To reach Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell from the Kingdom of Nye.
Driver's seat. Boy, can you imagine being a long-haul trucker this morning? You know, hauling butt between one place and another all the way across country, so you're driving all night long. And you're listening to this. You know, got a load of beef or something in the back, and you're chewing on this information. Can you imagine that, Mark?
Yeah, I can, in fact.
All right. Listen, hold on. We'll be right back and we'll take more calls.
Make Peace with Anyone, the latest groundbreaking book by New York Times bestselling author Dr. David J. Lieberman. Make Peace with Anyone shows you, step by step, how to use the newest techniques in human behavior to quickly end any conflict, feud, or estrangement. Critics are calling Make Peace with Anyone one of the biggest breakthroughs in human relationships because the techniques can work for anyone in any situation. individuals, governments, and corporations currently use Dr. Lieberman's work in more than 25 countries. Take advantage of this latest groundbreaking research and learn how to resolve any personality conflict, ongoing feud, or long-time estrangement quickly and permanently. No matter how hopeless the situation seems, you can also get anyone to forgive you for anything. The power to finally make peace with anyone or bring other people back together can be yours. No matter what's been said or done, you can make things good again. Make Peace with Anyone is available now at bookstores everywhere.
Dr. Wagner talks about nighttime teeth grinding.
Recognize that sound? That's a grinder wrecking a night's sleep for their sleepmate. What's worse is the damage it's doing to their teeth. That's why I created the Doctor's Night Guard. The Doctor's Night Guard is a dental protector you wear at night to cushion your teeth. Because you fit it yourself, you save money. More importantly, you can save your teeth.
The Doctor's Night Guard. At your drugstore.
You'll save your teeth and help your sleepmate get some rest.
From Stephen King, the master of suspense, who brought you The Shining, It, and The Stand, comes a world premiere event written exclusively for ABC Television. Nearly one century ago, an unspeakable evil was born.
Some houses are born bad. Houses like Rose Red.
Now one team's dream to uncover the truth.
Rose Red is a dangerous place to run psychic experiments.
Will become their worst nightmare. Stephen King's Rose Red. Sunday, January 27th at 9, 8 Central on ABC.
Boy, everything these days just scares the hell out of you, doesn't it? This included. Okay, Mark, here you are once again. You ready?
You know, just to follow up on your can you imagine being a trucker?
Yeah.
I'm sitting here with two men and my son. They just came over to support me. They're truckers.
Huh.
One is 280 pounds, one is 320 pounds.
Well, then they know exactly what I just said.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, a lot of people would think about a lot of things if they knew this was true. They'd start thinking about all kinds of things. It'd be interesting to see what the world would do. Maybe we'll find out. First-time caller line, you're on the air with Mark Hazelwood. Hello.
Hello?
Yes, sir. Where are you?
I am in San Diego.
Okay.
I've heard a lot of stuff on your program, Art. And, you know, I can accept past civilizations long gone. And
yes.
I can pretty much accept UFOs and stuff like that. But I have a hard time going along with this because if we're talking about two-thirds of the world population being destroyed,
mm-hmm.
I think it's kind of irresponsible and negligent to say that someone would try to debunk this when we're looking at this and it's less than 2 years away, especially with all the technology that we have out there now.
Yeah, but what could we do to affect something of that size? I've had, you know, if it were true, I've had scientists on here who talk about affecting small objects that they might detect coming toward Earth, but something
right.
this size, believe me, I can tell you, they would say no way.
That they wouldn't be able to see it coming towards
Earth. No, they'd see it, that they could do nothing to affect it.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that word should, you know, get out to the masses that, you know, something that this big is coming towards Earth and, you know, it's going to affect two-thirds of the world population.
Yeah, it's what we've been saying. It's what Mark has been saying.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
I want to say that I agree with the caller. I think it's highly negligent of anyone out there that has this information who's only giving hints, that is keeping it to themselves. I challenge every one of them to grow some kahunas and start saving lives by opening up.
Yeah, but, you know, maybe it's been calculated by somebody, if this were true. And I'm not saying that I believe that all of what you're saying is true, Mark.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't necessarily. I'm going to have to do a lot of reading and a lot of thinking. I see signs all over the place that something like this could be from a zillion guests, but I don't know anything to be an absolute fact yet. I haven't done enough research so that I could say that to myself. But if I did, I might really think that it might not, I mean, in a lot of ways, there might not be a point in some gigantic public disclosure of this. There simply might not be any point in it.
Well, I've done some research down Homestead, Florida, and found out that thousands of people were killed down there. And if I was a businessman down there, and I realized this, and I realized the controllers of the media covered all this up, I might agree with them that my business would continue if they covered this up. That my real estate prices of my beachfront property would still be high if they covered up the thousands of deaths down in Homestead during Hurricane Andrew. So I can see both sides of the equation.
Well, something of this magnitude that would so change the world forevermore and perhaps just begin a new civilization. Yeah, I don't know if it's, I think it's debatable whether the big powers that be really should say something. Debatable. It'd be a legitimate debate to have back and forth, whether or not to actually reveal it.
Well, like I said, even I, early in the program, you heard me say, I go back and forth on the issue. I mean, I felt the need, once I reached this level of clarity, I thought, hold it, this is not being presented correctly. I could do this and put it in you know, one quick read to bring someone just that doesn't have any knowledge up to speed to the reality. And, you know, that bothered me that I had that clarity and I thought that I had that ability. But I understood that even that goes so far. And,
yeah, isn't there something?
If I were them, okay, if I were the guys that were managing this,
yes.
You know, the powers that be,
if you were.
I might not do anything different than what they already have. I might agree wholeheartedly with it. But I'm not one of those people. So, you know,
that's fair. I mean, that's absolutely fair. But, yes, their position might be the correct one and the logical one and the proper one to take when you considered everything. At least it's a legit argument.
I could possibly agree with that.
Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Mark Hazelwood. Hello.
Hi, this is Larry, 1 mile from the Atlantic Ocean in Fort Lauderdale.
The present line of the Atlantic Ocean, you mean, right?
That's true.
Yes.
There seems to be a recurring theme here with the Hobies, Father Malachi Martin, Major N. Dames.
Many, many. Yeah.
And it seems like sometimes these dates come and go and people say, this is just another one. And I think what happens is that these people legitimately, through history, through sensitivity, through spiritualism, really, really see something coming. But what they don't see is the divine intervention that stops these things. And I think what the caller about five callers ago said is very, very true. And I'd like to add that I think the lesson in all this may be just the knowledge that the impending doom is coming. And if people really don't want it to happen and they are able to vibrate, let's say, with a higher being, I believe that this thing could come by here and either not hit us or not come by here, or that the poles can shift without that violent maneuver, in that the people at a certain latitude simply adopt the season of the opposite latitude below or above
right.
the equator.
Right.
And so I think that this one sounds very real because it shows up across the board. And in looking at Mark's website, you see all of the different names that it's been called in the past. But I really believe that we're here for a higher purpose. And if we're meant to go, we're going to go. But I think that we are protected. And we don't really know everything about that. And I think that the lesson here may be just in the knowing that it's coming and how we react to that.
Well, I don't discount what you say at all, and I don't necessarily agree yet with Mark with regard to the surety of this event, but if I did, I would not discount what we've done here with experiments of the mind, and that it could be that ultimate power that we talked about as a possibility when we did all these programs, the latest being the graphs, oh my God, the graphs, that human beings could affect such an event under some special circumstances. I would be the last to deny that, so there's a little bit of hope for somebody. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Mark Hazelwood. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Yes. I was just thinking, if it's accepted that this disaster is on course to happen, do you think it's possible that we could do a mass concentration to try to stop it?
Same thing I just dealt with before you got on the air here.
Yeah, but I mean...
Yeah, of course. I mean, I think that that's an option to try, that, you know, this is a power that we don't know a lot about. We're just beginning to understand it, and boy, in the most rudimentary ways, to even observe that the power is there. So is it one possibility to lessen the impact or to eliminate it? I'd be the last to say it couldn't be done, because I don't know. Obviously, you think generally not, right, Mark, except at the individual level.
That is correct. I think that your attitude towards the up-and-coming events will determine your experience within the events. And even if you perish, the way you perish, how you perish, and how you end up in the afterlife will be different if you have a positive attitude about it.
Huh.
I mean, you will. I go along with the other caller more than you know about, you know, raising your vibratory rate. That there is something to that.
Sure. Okay. First time caller line. You are on the air with Mark Hazelwood. Hello.
Hey Mark, I wanted to talk to you more about what you were talking about the domes and how you feel they're safer.
Yeah.
Was wondering where you came across that idea.
Yeah, good question. Where did you come across the dome idea?
Well, actually, the first time I came across the dome idea was way back when I was a child in the 60s with Bucky Fuller. he was a real dome home advocate.
Right.
And then I've learned a lot since then. So that's the originator, I suppose.
So you just feel it's at least one personal defensive type thing that you can do is to live in a dome home in the right place.
Absolutely. In fact, I was just on vacation in Arizona, and I walked up to a girl in Walmart. I was looking for another suitcase, and I found out she was from Orlando. I'm in, visiting Arizona, and I meet this girl from Orlando. Her and her husband came to, the upper part of the winter wonderland of Arizona. Mm-hmm. And they said they were building a dome home for the up-and-coming earth changes, and we were talking about the hydroponic farm they were putting in just underneath the dome home. And I just thought, geez, what a coincidence.
There are people doing this. I am aware of it as well.
But from my hometown, she came from my hometown, Orlando, to that specific spot where I was vacationing with her husband, specifically to get away from earth changes. They knew nothing to Planet X.
Hmm. Well, I don't think that Planet X is the only message of its kind out there by a long shot. We've discussed many of them tonight. So, yeah, I mean, I've heard of people doing this. I've heard of it. And I wouldn't be one of them. Mark, I wouldn't be one of them.
You would not be one to build a dome home?
No. No, I don't think so. Absolutely love it where I am. It's been great to me. And if it's going to be an ocean for a while, then I'll go with the fishes.
Well, my father, he would not make a decision based on anything I've done. In fact, even before I read this book, he decided he was probably more than likely going to move up into a rural area, maybe, Wyoming, Montana. And I believe now he's made his decision to do that, and it wasn't based on anything that I've written, but he wants to build a log cabin. He doesn't care about no dome.
Well, he sounds like a Montana kind of guy when you talk to him.
Yeah.
Anyway, right?
Yeah, log cabin Montana kind of guy now is what he's become, I guess, in his early 70s.
Well, that's okay.
Yep.
That's absolutely okay, but he's not going up there because of what you are saying.
No, he made that decision long ago.
Uh-huh. Okay, west of the Rockies, you're on the air with Mark Hazelwood. Hi.
Hi, Art. Ed.
Yes?
Can you take my question?
Well, I don't know. Is it going to be that challenging? Yeah, we can take it, probably. Go ahead. Let's have it.
Well, I was thinking
you know, if you tie all of this together, there's also that situation with the Antichrist. You know, the supposedly the earth is going to go or be in such a terrible way, and then someone is going to come along and solve all the problems.
Right.
Right?
Well, or offer to, or convince everybody that that he can. Yes, the
exactly.
Antichrist.
Exactly. Uh-huh. So, I mean, that sounds like the scenario that would be set up for someone to present himself as the Savior.
Here's another thing to chew on. Mark, did you know that NASA recently proposed that Earth be moved?
Oh, I remember that.
This is a serious proposal. And I gathered it all back together last night. I remembered when somebody fast-blasted me that a large body of some sort, something really big, it would have to be something really big, would be directed near the Earth, just very close, maybe a brush with the Earth's atmosphere, that close, something that would knock the Earth out of its present orbit, take it a little further away from the sun. It would have to be most carefully engineered, lest you make a mistake and, you know, knock us like a pool cue onto the other side of the room. But just nudge our orbit away so that we don't all fry from the global warming that they see coming. And then, when things got better, the plan would be to bring another monster, something or another, close to Earth and knock us back where we're supposed to be. Now, the average person could say, I see a few holes in this idea. Even the average guy could say that. But it's an honest-to-God plan that NASA has.
My idea is, why would they even be considering something like that?
Well, I thought of you when I just now thought of that. I thought, well, why would they feel a need to move us other than, you know, slightly warmer temperatures? I mean, that seems radical to think about moving us for that. But on the other hand,
too much.
But on the other hand, if something like Planet X were a coming, then you might have motive to move.
Yeah, motive to move the whole celestial body. Yeah.
Well. Anyway, west of the Rockies, you're on the air with Mark Hazelwood. Hello.
Yeah, this is John in Anchorage.
Hello, John.
Yeah, I was wondering if Mark is familiar with the Granite Starship, written by Paul Kolbeck. I believe you had him on as a guest.
I sure did.
No, I'm not unfamiliar with it.
Oh.
What's that about?
Well, your theory parallels some of what I read in his book about a very old and very collapsed star that our solar system passes nearby approximately every 33,000 years compared to what you were saying about 36,000 years.
3,600, actually.
Earth.
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
3,600, actually. That's very Sitchin-like.
I'm sorry.
So anyway, the Granite Starship part of it, you want to explain that?
Well, I guess it's... conversations with aliens concerning the natures of the secrets of the universe. Has to do with this this guy Daniel Hammer that gets abducted by aliens, and they give him all this knowledge and
about building a granite starship.
Correct.
You know, I don't mention aliens in my book except for one of my intuitives that I reference, ZetaTalk.com. Supposedly, that person gets knowledge from aliens. So, you know, I don't really know much about that.
Well, though, Mark, I guess, you know, you could speculate and you could think for a moment that if something as catastrophic as this were going to occur to a civilization as technical as ours, and as advanced in many ways as ours is, maybe not compared to them, but, you know, we seem to be doing pretty well in a lot of ways. Not so well on others, but in some ways we're doing okay, and it might be that an alien race, if they are out there and if they are observing, might decide that in some way it's time to help us. I mean, if ever there was going to be a moment to violate the prime directive, if indeed that's adhered to at all out there, that would be the time. You know, I mean, if there would be wipe out of a very promising civilization, maybe I'm giving us too much credit, that certainly would be the time to intervene, wouldn't it?
I wholeheartedly agree with your statement.
Oh. Okay. Well, in that case, Mark, we are out of time, and I say that with love for all the Canadians that I know are listening to me right now with a big smile on their face. Mark Hazelwood, thank you for being here, and plenty of people are going to be going to buy your book.
Well, I thank you, Art.
Good night.
It's been a pleasure, and real fun.
Yeah, been fun. Fun. That's kind of fun. Good night, Mark. I've always enjoyed End of the World Everythings. Movies, books, and now Mark Hazelwood. Well, that's about it for tonight, folks. That would be enough, wouldn't it? Yo, Planet X, from the high desert, ta-ta.